उपाध्याय प्रतिबोधयात्मकवदा नारायणेन स्वयं व्यासेन अग्रलीलां पुराणमुनीनां मध्ये महाभारतम् अद्वैतामृतवर्षिणीं भगवतीं अष्टादशाध्यायिनीं अमृत्वामृतसन्ददामि भगवद्गीते भवद्वेष्टिम् ुलारविताय तमत्र नेत्र एत्वया भारततैलपूर्ण प्रज्वालितो ज्ञानमय प्रदीप प्रबन्धपायदाय तोत्र वेत्रैकवाणये ज्ञानद्राय कृष्णाय गीतामृतये सर्वोपनिषदो महावोदोद्धा गोपालाङ्गनम् पार्थोपवत्स सुगीर्भोक्तारुद्धम् गीतामृतम् ीष्मद्रोणलकाजलाकान्धारमीलोत्पलाम् शल्यग्राहमदी कृपेण महनी कर्णेन वेलाकुलम् अश्वत्थामाविलग्न घोरागरा दुर्योधनावर्दिनि कोकिलपाण्डवैरणैवर्तय केशव सरोजमलम् इदाकन्दोल्कणम् नानाख्यानगिकेसरम् हरिकदा सम्बोधनावोदितम् लोकेशजनशम्पदैरहरः तेदीयमानम् मुदा भूयामङ्गलकलिमलप्रध्वंसिन् श्रेयसे भूगन्धरोजिवाचारम् पङ्गम् निर्धयते गिरिम् यत्कृपातमहङ्गे परमानन्दमाधवम् यम् ब्रह्मावरणे रुद्रमरुदस्वन्मन्दिर्यै सवैर्वेदे साङ्गवदेर्कम उपनिषदे गायन्तियम् सामगाः ध्यानावस्थितरद्गतेन मनसा पश्यन्तियम् योगिनो यस्यात्मम् न विदुस्रासृगणैवायमस्मै Sunday, when we discuss this verse, Yajande Satriya Devan, Yaksharaksham Sirajasa, Praidan Bhulaganam Shani, Yajande Tamasa Janaha. The fourth verse. We have seen the important things, like Krishna is saying, that these Devadas, we shouldn't misunderstand that Devadas are not that sattvagunam, rajogunam, tamogunam, depending on the person's situation. For example, the devotee who is, if he is in sattvagunam, even if he worships any other devata, his worship will be in the mode of goodness because the person is in the mode of goodness. Isn't it? So, if the person who is worshipping, he is in the mode of goodness, even when he worships the lower categories of the devatas, he will not look at them from their external appearance because modes of nature is not in the self. Their Antaryami is also Krishna, even whether they are Yaksharakshamsi, Predam, Bhudam. In all of them, who is present inside as Antaryami is Atma, Krishna. Is it not? So, worship can change if you... If the person's mood is lower, if he is in the lower modes of nature, then when he worships the lower, the deities in the lower modes, then there will be a problem. That is why in the Bhagavatam it is said in the beginning that people who are in the lower modes of nature, they should only worship Krishna, which we have seen discussed last Sunday, isn't it? That is the reason behind that. That when we are under the lower modes of nature, because Krishna is the Sattvagunam. Sattvagunam is Krishna. Sattva, the Sattvam we say higher than the Sattvam. But that Sattvam worship is in Krishna's worship. So therefore it would not cause any problems. It will only elevate a person who is in the lower modes. It will elevate him because of the higher modes of worship. So that is what we were discussing last Sunday. That interestingly, Yajande Sattvya Devan, Yaksharakshamsi Rajasaha, Praidan Bhudaganam Shani, Ejande Tamasa Jana. So generally it is said that those who are in the mode of goodness, naturally they will tend to go towards the Devadas in the mode of goodness. those who are in the mode of passion, their natural tendency will be to go towards the deities in the modes of passion. Similarly, those who are in the mode of ignorance, their natural inclination will be towards the lower deities, deities in the modes of ignorance. This is a natural thing, it happens in that way. That's what we are discussing. So, but the point is that most of the people among the millions, you can say, rarely very few you will find in the Satvagunam. Yes or not? In pure Satvagunam. So, only they will find it in a position to worship the lower modes or the lower deities. And therefore, because they cannot do that, they are not in the mode. Naturally, their attachment will be for the deities in the Rajasam and Tamasam, in the lower mode. They'll get attracted to it. What can you do? That you can see all the time. People will be very attracted to the, according to the nature, they will perform their worship to the deity. Worship to the deity. So we'll understand that better when we go. Krishna mentions there before, that these five things he mentioned, isn't it? Devadas, that means the deity you worship, then the aharam, the food, what we eat, then the yajnam, or karma, sacrifice, or karma. Karma has to be a sacrifice, that's what is expected. And then the austerities we perform, penances, and the charity we make in life. All these five things he mentioned there. These five things, our Shraddha inside, depending on our gunam, our Sattugunam, Rajagunam, or Tamogunam, they will, that modes will manifest in our these five things. That means our food, our sacrifices or karmam, or charity or austerities, all of them will take a different direction according to our modes of nature. According to our modes of nature. So, Shraddha, and that's why Krishna is discussing these five things through these three different modes. That's the reason why he has discussed it like that. Through three different modes, all these five things. Satyam, Rajasam, Tamasam. In that way. So, that is what we talked about last time. And so those who are in the higher mode of goodness, whatever form they worship, they can turn that into Krishna's manifestation. Because Krishna is present in them as Sandaryami. They won't be disturbed. That's why sometimes you see very elevated people, any deities they worship, they would not get into difficulties. They would not get into problems. Because even though the deity is present to us in the Rajasic nature, the worship is, or Rajasic deities we call them, because they see the Andaryami inside, in the deity, as Atma, Krishna is present there, as Andaryami there, they would not fall. They will not fall. This is the advantage of that Satyagam. Satyagya nature. If one has good amount of Satugunam inside, whatever deity he worship, he won't fall. Otherwise, what will happen, you can see that. For example, if you look at Bhagavad Gita, you will see, Krishna is saying to us, at the very end of Bhagavad Gita, Sarva Dharman Paritejya Mamegam Sharanam Raja. Isn't it? Krishna is saying to us. And we hold on to that. And we say to everybody, I don't want to care anything about anybody else. I'm not bothered. Krishna is saying only these one words at the end, and I'm going to do that. But who is able to do it? Tell me. Nobody is able to do that. It's not so simple. Because the reason for that is, in our process of evolving in spiritual life, this Sarva Dharman Paritijya comes as the last one. Prior to happening to that, because Krishna himself, who has said to us these things about Sarva Dharman Paritijya, if you look into the third chapter, what does he say to us? 11th verse. If you look, you will see what Krishna is saying there. So, Bhagavad Gita, when you study, you have to look at the whole thing. You can't pick one from end and say that this is what Krishna is saying. If you look at the 11th verse, he says, he talks about Krishna who is saying, Saranaman Paritija, he is saying to us, Devan Bhavayata Dena, Te Deva Bhavayanduva, Parasparam Bhavayanda Prema Parama Vakshida. The demigods, being pleased by sacrifices, will also please you. And thus, by cooperation between men and demigods, prosperity will reign for all. So Krishna is saying to us at the end. Now, if you look at the four verses, 11, 12, 13, 14, Krishna has come down very heavily on that. He's saying to us, Ishtan bhogan hi vo deva dasyande yajna bhavidaha tayar dattan apradeyebhyo ebhumte stena evasa. Krishna is saying, in charge of the various necessities of life, the demigods being satisfied by the performance of yajna will supply all necessities to you. But he who enjoys such gifts without offering them to the demigods in return is certainly a thief, Krishna says. Next verse. He's saying that yajna shidashina sando muchyande sarvagilbhishai bunjande deva kham bhava evacham yajmakaranai. Devotees of the Lord are released from all kinds of sins because they eat food which is offered first for sacrifice. Others who prepare food for personal sense enjoyment verily eat only sin. And then, anna bhavandi bhudani parjanya anna sambhava yatnyan bhavandi parjanyo yatnya karma samudbhavam. All living entities, living bodies subsist on food grains which are produced from rains. Rains are produced by the performance of yatnyam, and yatnya is born of prescribed duties. So these four verses, if you look at, you can see in the Bhagavad Gita, in the beginning, Krishna is saying to us to offer and to develop a relationship with the devadas, demigods, isn't it? In the beginning, that's what he is saying. Finally, Krishna is saying to us, sarva dharman parityajya mamekam sharanam vraja. If you look into the middle of the Bhagavad Gita, it's all about antaryami worship. Antaryami worship. So it is actually in these three levels things progress. Beginning with this relationship with the devadas and parasparam bhavayandam, mutually supporting them and they support us. That is what Krishna's instruction is in the Bhagavad Gita. Parasparam bhavayandam prema parama vapsyada. That's the way to live in this world. From there, when more realization comes, you go into the second stage of antaryami situation. And from there, when you have gone further, more evolved in spiritual life, then you come to the last stage of sarva dharman parityajya mamekam sharanam vraja. Only then it will work. Otherwise, if you give up these two things and you simply go into saying that sarva dharman parityajya mamekam sharanam vraja, you won't be able to stay, you will fall down. And that's what we have seen again and again. People cannot stay in that because they haven't gone through the basic education. This is a progression in the Bhagavad Gita, beginning with this parasparam bhavayanda, the relationship with the devadas, and then come to the antaryami stage, and finally to the last stage of sarvadharma parityajya. Only then it will work. If you don't follow this path, and if you completely reject all the Bhagavad Gita's previous path, and start thinking that, oh, sarvadharma parityajya is the only thing. So many devotees have heard this saying. They reject the karma yoga, they reject everything else and say, finally, Bhagavad Gita is not like that. There is a sequence in which to follow Bhagavad Gita. Otherwise, this sarvadharman parityajya is for those who are highly evolved in spiritually, who come to that level that they won't fall. That stage, because they have finished up this part, part A and part B, and that is the final stage. And that is why this difficulty often. Sometimes people ask this question, why did they fall? They have fallen, they all fallen because of this only. That sarvadharman parityajya won't work so easily to anybody. Nobody, it's not possible. That is why if you ignore all Bhagavad Gita and simply take one verse from the 6th, 18th chapter and say, oh, this is what Krishna is saying, sarvadharman parityajya. That is not proper understanding of Bhagavad Gita. You can't go like that. You just have to accept all what Krishna says before also. And this is the progressive evolution. It happens that you get evolved in that way and finally come to that stage when you have purified yourself to that level that if you surrender at that time, there won't be any more falling down from that. Any more falling down from that. Otherwise, what will happen? Suppose somebody has taken to this verse and then he has gone and done surrender. He says, I've surrendered. And then if he falls, what does that mean? Bhagavad Gita is wrong then. And you have surrendered, then you fell down. What does that mean? You cannot fall. If you are falling, it means that your surrender is not come through the proper matured way. It's just like the fruit, if you put it into the gas and ripen it, it will be not properly ripened, isn't it? Rather than hanging on the tree and ripening in the proper way. So the same thing will happen in spiritual life also. That's the point Krishna is making there. There's so many instances he's saying here that Srimad Bhagavatam, we were mentioning this on last Sunday also, that Srimad Bhagavatam, when it was spoken in Haridwar, which was the third time, first it was spoken at Parikshit, Sugar Brahmarshi and Parikshit. They spoke, isn't it? Sugar Brahmarshi spoke, Parikshit, correct. Second time it came to Naimisharanyam, where Sudha Goswami spoke and Shaunak Rishi heard. Third time it was spoken in Haridwar, where Srimad Bhagavatam was spoken, Sri Narada Maharshi spoke, and at that time was the one when the Dundugari got released. Like in the Palkogram, you can see that story. So many people listened to Bhagavatam there, but only one person got released. Only one person got released, that was his brother, Gogama's brother, Dundugari. Well, Dundugari got released. So there the question came up, why only Dundugari got released? Because Dundugari is the only person who heard Bhagavatam properly. He was only, his Shravanam was perfect. He heard Bhagavatam properly, therefore he got released. 7 days time, without eating, he was in the ghostly body, in the Brahmarishya form. He was sitting in the bamboo pole, and every day, one bamboo ring broke, and he moved on to the second one, third one, fourth one. If you look into the bamboo tree, you will see there, in the bamboos inside, there are rings, and it's closed, and then come up, and again another ring, it's closed. There is a length, it is about 6 or 8 inches in between. So when it comes to Undugari's alma, when it went through, each time this inside ring broke and came to the second one. It had 7 rings, and on the 7th day it broke open and went back to the spiritual world. He took it to the spiritual body and left. It says in the Bhagavad-gita very clearly. So, in other words, Krishna gave that special mercy to Dundugari because he heard Srimad Bhagavatam properly, as one should hear. That, like Sugar Brahmarshi, Parikshit has heard Bhagavatam, in the same way he heard Bhagavatam. So he got released. So, only one person escaped from there. So, in other words, in his heart, Krishna has appeared, and therefore, that is why it is spoken like that. So, saying that, Krishna is going now to another topic. If you look at the next verse, you will see that what Krishna says. Five. Ashastra vihidam khoram. Tapyanveye tapojanaha Dambham ahankara samyuktam Kamaraga balanvidaha Ashastra vihidam khoram Tapyanveye tapojanaha Dambha ahankara samyuktam Kamaraga balanvidaha Ashastra vihidam khoram tapyandeya tapojanaha dambam ahankara samyuktam kamaraga balanvidaha. So we will take the next verse also. Karshayandashanirastam Budagramam Achetasaha Mam Chaivandashanirastam Tanvidhi Asura Nishchayan Karshayandashanirastam Budagramam Achetasa Mam Chaivandashanirastam Tanvidhi Asura Nishchayan Karshayam Sharirastam Budagramam Achetasa.
Mam Chaivanda Sharirastam Tanvidhi Asura Nishayan. Translation. Those who undergo severe austerities and penances not recommended in the scriptures, performing them out of pride and egotism, who are impelled by lust and attachment, who are foolish and who torture the material elements of the body as well as the super soul dwelling within, are to be known as demons. Let's look at that. Ashastravihidam na shastravihidam. Ghoram pidagaram praninam almanacha tava haptapyandi nirvartayandi ye janaha te jadamba ahangara samyutaha dambaja ahangaraja damba ahangaru tabhyam samyutta damba ahangara samyutaha kama raga balanyidaha kamacha cha ragaha cha kama rago talkridam belam kama raga belam tena anidaha kama raga belaiva anidaha. Basically, Krishna is saying that some people, they engage in very severe austerities, like Hiranyakashipu and so many others, isn't it? But they won't follow Shastra. They won't follow Shastra. So, such personalities, Krishna is saying, their power comes from their ego, and their attachment, and their pride. These three things. The ego, the attachment and the pride, they get their strength from that. And in the next verse it said, Krishayanda Shari Krishayanda Krishi Kurvanda Sharirastam Bhudagramam Karana Savadayam Achetasaha Avivekinaha Mamcha Evata Karma Sakshi Bodam Anda Sharirastam Narayanam Krishayanda Mal Anishasanam Karanam Eva Mal Krishanam Tan Vidhi Asura Nishayan Asuru Nishayo Yashamde Asura Nishayaha Tan Pariharanartam Vidhi Idi Upadeshaha. Because they have no discrimination, they have no knowledge, they don't consult the Shastra. What they do is, they give a lot of pain to their own body and they give pain to the material elements and all their senses and their limbs in the body. But by doing that, actually they are completely rejecting me, Krishna is saying. They are completely rejecting me. And that makes me not very happy, Krishna says. So therefore, Krishna is saying that such people who are like that, they have more demoniac nature in them. They are not in the three modes. They are demoniac. That's what Krishna is saying here. Aharanamcha rasya snigdhadi vargatray rupena bhinnanam yathakramam satvika rajasa tamasam purusha priyata darshanam iha kriyate. So those people who are in that demoniac nature, who are like that, from them, they also fall into three categories. Satyam, Rajasam, Tamasam. And their food habits, Krishna is going to come into that discussion next. Before that, we will look at that verse a little bit more carefully, what Krishna says. So, Krishna says there that upasana, or whatever we do in spiritual life, ashastra vihidam ghoyam, Krishna says, it has to be based on shastra. It has to be based on shastra. Shraddhaya nidaha. Krishna says, ashastra vihidam ghoyam, tapyandehi tapo janaha, dambam ahangara samyutta kamaraga bilayan nidaha. Krishna saying, earlier he said, Shraddhaya nidaha. Remember? In the last word. Verse 4. Verse 3. Verse... Shraddhaya nidaha. Krishna mentioned. First word. Yajande Shraddhaya nidaha. Arjuna mentioned there, isn't it? Arjuna mentioned Yajande Shraddhaya nidaha. In reply to that, Krishna says that Sridham Bhavati Shraddham Dehi Namcha Sabhavacham and Satvara Nova Sarvasya Shraddha Bhavati Bharada. In the third verse, Krishna said. So, Shraddhaya nidaha or Shraddha Bhavati Bharada, their Shraddha, that they will act according to their Shraddha. According to their Shraddha. But here, in this verse, Krishna is saying that Ashastra Vihidam Gauram Ye Tapinde Ye Taho Janaha Dambam Ahangara Samyutta
Kamaraga Balanyidaha. There is two differences there. One is Shraddhayanyidaha. Here Krishna is saying Kamaraga Balanyidaha. There he mentioned based on Shraddha it will happen. Here Krishna is saying Kamaraga Balanyidaha. What does it mean? It means that here, Krishna Paul uses the word ghoram.
See that word?
Ashastra vihidam ghoram. Ghoram, he says here. Not yajande. If it is done through shraddha, it is yajnam. If it is done through kamaraga balanyuraha, it is not a yajnam anymore. Do you know what I'm saying? Then, if it is done through Shraddha, it has to be a Yajnam. And that Yajnam can be under three modes. Sati, Rajasa, Tamasa. But if it is not through Shraddha, instead if it is coming from Kamam, Ragam, Balam. Kamaraga, Balanyidaha. Krishna is saying that, isn't it? So, if it is coming from Kamam and Ragam, or Ahangaram, whatever that is inside, that Ashastra Hidam Goram Tapende Ye Tabo Janaha Dambam Ahangaram Samyutta Kamaraga Balanyiraha. There, the power is not coming from Shraddha, it is coming from your Kamam, Ragam and Ahangaram. You see the difference there? Normally, a person in spiritual life, all this is only related to those who are in spiritual life. It is not talking about karmis who are no interest in spiritual life. This is for those who have come to spiritual life, giving them a guidance. That's what Krishna is saying here, these things. Not for anybody. You should not put upon all other people in the world all these things and start comparing them. That won't make any sense. Because as far as they are concerned, that their gratification is prime importance for them in life, isn't it? Enjoying the senses and attachment to the material life. That's a different category altogether. This Krishna is talking about is those who have come to spiritual life but who requires direction. For them, for their benefit, all this is spoken. So you have to see it only through that. Because everything, these five things we talked about, Devada, Yajnam, and Tapasya, Dhanam, Aharam. These five things, not referring to the ordinary people. You can't put it upon them. Many people think like that. They will do what they want. They are not controlled by any rules and regulations. Isn't it? Ordinary person indeed. This is only for those who come to spiritual life. Only for them this is spoken. So, Krishna's point here is that these people who come to spiritual life also, and they will derive strength from something. Now, a person who is serious and properly understood Shastram, he will act according to his Shraddha, he will act. Whereas, those who come, some of them will act who don't consult the Shastram. That is the most important point. You come to spiritual life, but you won't care for the Shastram. Those people, they will perform their austerities and penances based on the Dambam, Ahangaram, Kamam, Ragam. This will be driving them in their spiritual life. Dambam, Ahangara, Samyutta, Kamaraga, Balanyiraha. Their problem is, they won't consult Shastram, they will do what they like. They are also in the spiritual life. This is what has happened, Hiranyaksha, Hiranyakeshu, all of them. That is where, because last word, chapter you remember, when Krishna closed the chapter, what did he say? A Shastra Vidimul Srijya Vartade Kamakarata. And,
is mentioned in the last words, if you remember.
Tasmat Shastra Pramanande. That is why those two verses are introduction to this verse. And now you can see where Krishna is coming from. Having stressed the importance of Shastra in the last two verses, in the last chapter, now Krishna is saying, those who have come to spiritual life also, spiritual life means that they, when Krishna is talking about here, in spiritual life in the sense that they are all known for self-realization, but they have some higher goal in life. Hiranyakashipu had a much higher goal in life. because he took to austerities, didn't he? Ravana took to austerities. They are, even though they may be asuras and all, they also had a higher life. That means they are not in the category of eating, sleeping, waiting, defending. That is the normal people. They have gone beyond than that. They are thinking higher, higher goal in life they had. But the problem is, because they won't consult Shastram, they did things, and their strength for doing those things came from
what Krishna calls it here, that dambam, ahangaram, samyukta, kamaraga, velanyidaha, not shraddhayanyidaha.
See that difference? Actually, we should get from shraddhayanyidaha. From shraddha it should come, not from dambam, ahangaram.
Dambam, ahangara, samyukta, kamaraga, velanyidaha.
This is that basic difference. Basic difference.
So, Krishna says,
All the words have changed. Have you noticed in this verse? Earlier when Shraddha was used, Krishna says Yajandai, Yajnam it is.
Now when it comes to Dambam, Ahangaram and all, he says Tapyandai.
It is Tapam, it is. It's not anymore Yajnam. That's the important point. You see?
So it's two different situations. When there is Tapyandai Tapo Janaha,
they perform tapasya. Tapyande, tapam. They are burning themselves out. But where is that energy for that coming from? Dambam, ahangara, samyukta, kamaraga, velanyudaha. Not from shraddhayanyudaha. That's an important point. There. These are all the subtle side of these things. If we don't know these things, then we'll think, we'll put everybody into one category. People will ask this question. Hiranyakashipu was much more austere than us. Who can go and sit like Hiranyakashipu in the forest for 100,000 years, and all around your body the anthill was building up, and when Brahma came and looked at him, he only had a bag of bones. There was just a skin covering outside, and Astigata Pranan he was called. That means only the bones left in the body. Can we do that, what Hiranyakashipu did? So who is more advanced in that sense? Hiranyakashipu is more advanced than us. He can perform much powerful austerities than us. But what is the problem? Problem is this. Kamaraga, Dambha, Mahangara, Samyukta, Kamaraga, Velanyulaha. Not Shabdayanyulaha. That is that big difference.
So,
Yajande means Satyam. It is Yajnyam. That is Satyam. Instead it is Ghoram. Krishna says Ghoram. Ashastra Vihidam Ghoram. Ashastram it is. It's not Shastrik. And Vihidam Ghoram it is.
And then Tapyandeye Tapo Janaha.
They will do tapasya. But Dambam Ahangara Samyukta Kamaraga Velanyudaha. All the strength for doing their tapasya coming from the Ahangaram, Dambam Ahangaram Kamam Ragam. That's where all their strength is coming from. It's not coming from Shraddha, proper Shraddha. So you can see this in this world also, that a lot of this power and strength is coming from Dambam Ahangara Samyukta Kamaraga Velanyulaha. They will do, sometimes you will see people with a lot of austerities and a lot of effort they put in. And where does it coming from? It's coming from this. Dambam Ahangara Samyukta Kamaraga Velanyulaha. And that is Krishna saying. So, so this has been going on. This is always going on. It's not only today that when they have made up their mind to acquire some results, and the results they'll be looking for will be something very substantial. Very substantial, like Hiranyakashipu. When he wanted the result, what was the result he wanted? Control of all the three planetary systems. And nobody can kill me, he's saying. Nighttime, daytime, and neither by man nor animal. Nobody in your creation, he says to Brahma, can kill me. He's asking for this kind of work. He has come fully prepared to ask all these things. This list was very comprehensive. He is putting it to Brahma. Brahma himself got confused. That's why what Brahma did was, when he asked all that, he said, you can have all that, he said, and put some, sprinkle this water on him. And Brahma left quickly, because if he has stayed a little bit more time, he will ask more. All things. Already had made it so difficult. Brahma was thinking later, what have I done?
After, I went there to see him, but I never thought he was going to ask all. He was so prepared. Brahma was not that prepared. He was not prepared, Hiranyakashipu. So his list was so good that nobody could touch him. That's why his demands were like that. Isn't it? So those people, they are capable. They want to strengthen them. It's not coming from Shraddha. It's coming from this. Dambha ahangara samyuktam. Dambham inside. Ahangaram inside. Kama raga balaniraha. It's not satyam. If it is satyam, it's yajnam. If it is coming from this, dambham ahangaram, kamam ragam and all that, it is then called. That's all it is. Tapyande. He says, tapyande. They will burn themselves in that way. So, in the similar way, remember all these, some people, because they know this well, how to use these different devadas properly, utilize. They've got the strength in them. So instead of, because they have no spiritual interest, what they will do is, they will worship other devadas. Yakshas, Rakshasi. Yaksha, Rakshamsi, Rajasa. They are all in there. Because they will get hold of one Yaksha, or Yakshi, for that matter, and worship them very intensely. And for that purpose, they will go into the forest or go into some cave and engage in austerities for them. What kind of austerities? For example, they won't take food, they won't take water, or they will stand up, and standing position they will do perform there. And if you hear the mantra they chant, Avahayam Avahaya, Spodaya Spodaja, like that, they have certain mantras also for that. But all the mantra, behind the motive is to destroy somebody. They have got enmity towards somebody. They will use these devadas to destroy them or to give harm to others due to their rajogunam and tamogunam inside. So, Vashiguru, there are so many mantras related with that. So, chanting this mantra to addressing a particular deity, Prayatam or Bhogam, and they will control that deity under them. They get the control over those deities. Because what happens is those deities, they will, if you have pleased them, they will do what you want them to do. In other words, those deities will become your servant. Become your servant. You can use them at that time. And nobody likes to be a slave, isn't it? So these deities also, they have to be careful when you deal with them. Those deities, these devadas, Yaksharakshamsi, all these ones, they will surrender to you and they will do what you want, but at some point in time, they'll give you a good smack and they'll go, finally. It's always happening, all these things. So, when it gets an opportunity, it will do that. So, though most of them don't have that kind of intelligence, and they don't have that good character in them, these deities. Prayatam, Yaksha, Rakshamsi. Yakshis and all, so many stories about them. How Yakshis are given them a lot of happiness to different devotees, their devotees, and then they smash them and they've escaped from there. So, because you have to remember, many of them are wandering around without a proper life to themselves. Without a proper life. They also don't have any proper direction. They are looking for a proper body, which they haven't got yet. That is why Prayadam, Bhudam, Yaksham, Rakshamsi, Krishna is saying Prayadam, Bhuda, Ganams, Chani, all of them are belonging to that category. In their subtle bodies, they are wandering around without any proper existence. So, what they are, these people are doing is, they chant their mantra and bring them under control. Bring them under control and get their job done, using them. Because they only got a subtle body. You can use them easily. Nobody can see them. Suppose you want to destroy someone, you get hold of one of them and worship them, and you can order them what you want, and they'll do it for you. So they can go and influence somebody in their heart and change their way of thinking and destroy them completely. It's always happened in that way. So by in this way, small siddhis you can get, mystic powers you can get. And they will give something like that. Prayadam, Bodham, all that belongs to that category. So small success you can have. All these things is not Shastra. It is not Shastriya. It's not Shastra. It's all outside. Outside the Shastra. That is what Krishna is saying here. A Shastra Vihidam Koyam. All those kind of worship is ashastram, Krishna is saying. Ashastram hidam ghoryam. Tapyandi ittaho janaha dambam ahankara samyuktaha. The reason why they are doing that is, inside them, there is a lot of ego. Ahankaram, in fact. These people who worship this kind of devadas, reason for why they worship them is ahankaram inside. There is ahankaram inside. And therefore they do such things. That is what Acharya also says here. Pidakaram praninam, he says here. That why they do that is because he mentions that pida ashastra vihidam means na shastra vihidam ghoram, very heavy. Pidakaram praninam almanaha chaha. When they do such a things, that kamam ryagam, they have reason behind that is, they have a lot of desires inside, and they have a lot of attachment to something. That is why they do such things. And it is that force that's coming from their desire and also the attachment. It is that force that is what is coming through in their tapas. Do you understand? That, like, it is not coming from their satunam. Because of the hangaram inside, dambam, hangaram, kamam, ragam inside, these four things. Dambam means pride, hangaram is ego, and kamam is desires, and ragam is attachment. If these things are very strong in a person, this will give you a force to do things. And that force is driving their life. And that is why they are able to perform such austerities, Krishna is saying. Such austerities. So that question will come like this, that the Deva Upasana is a Shastriyam. It's not based on Shastram. If it is based on Shastram, it has to come based from the Satugunam, Rajagunam, Tamagunam. Satugunam only is the one which is actually referring to Shastra. Shastric way of doing is only based in Satugunam. Whereas these people who have, because Rajagunam, Tamagunam is all these things, isn't it? Dambam, Ahankaram, Kamam, Ragam is all Rajagunam, Tamagunam. So if you have that a lot inside, it will give you a force from inside to do things. And that is what is reflecting in their austerities and penances. They are capable of performing severe austerities, but the force for doing that austerities is not coming from Satvagunam, it's coming from this kamam, dambam, ahankaram, kamam, ragam. That is what Krishna is saying here. So you can imagine, if the desire comes in a person, he will do anything in this world, isn't it? Depending on the strength of that desire inside. So that is why those who are in the mood of Sattugunam, they will not do big things in life. You can always see that. It's those in the Rajogunam and Tamogunam, they perform the big things in life. Sattugunam will not give you that inspiration to do anything. Sattugunam will keep you simple, and in a smaller level you will live in this world. But Rajogunam and Tamogunam will all be looking for global plans. Global ideas. It all comes from that Rajogunam and Tamogunam. So you can see this, that Tamogunam is there, Rajogunam is there. You can see, like the way Hiranyakashipu performed austerities and penances, Prahlada could not do it. Prahlada didn't do austerities or penances like the way Hiranyakashipu was done. Hiranyakashipu was standing on one leg and put fire all around him. And in the rain he stood, in the wind, in all kinds of weather conditions, in the deep forest, he was performing his austerities and penances. And Prahlada didn't do any such thing, isn't it? Prahlada's austerities were Satviyam. Hiranyakashipu was Rajasiyam and Tamasam. It was. That is the difference. So, in the, from there you can see this tapasya or austerity, when you perform under the power of this dambam, ahankaram, kamam, ragam, is more powerful than the tapasya what you do under Satviyam, Satvagunam. That's another important point. That the strength what you get from your dambam, ahankaram, kamam, ragam, which has driven Hiranyakashipu to perform austerities, that kind of strength you won't get it from Satvagunam. Satvagunam will not give you that strength. That is why Prahlada's austerities are simple. Very simple. So, in Hiranyakashipu's austerities, the power of kamam is there. Very strong, isn't it? He wanted to control the three planetary systems. And very strong attachment to his sensor, to the body, his own body, and his attachment to his authority position in this creation. So, from that very nature itself, you can see, Prahlada didn't have any such strength. Prahlada was a surrendered soul to Krishna. He didn't get that strength from the... This is only teaching us one important thing. Just by seeing with the eyes what you see, don't trust anything. Accept Shastram, what Shastram says. Why? Satvagunam will stay. Rajagunam will fall. That's the lesson from that. Why they put these two characters, Hiranyakashipu and Prahlada together, to show to us, Satvagunam will eventually win. Satvagunam will not lose. But in your appearance in this world, you may think that Rajagunam is the one which is winning. It gives the impression like that, isn't it? Rajagunam gives you that feeling that everything is more powerful, more strong. But finally, they will fall. They won't stay. Whereas Satvagunam will remain steady and it will win, finally. That is the lesson. So, because that power... this you can see among the students also. When they are students, if you observe them, you will see. If they got an ambition inside, they will stay all night and study. Is it not? They will stay the whole night and study. Provided that ambition inside. That's Rajogunam it is. That once that Rajogunam has grown inside, then they will sit the whole night and study. And if you tell them just to sit and chant Hare Krishna for half an hour or 15 minutes, they will say, oh, it's very difficult to chant so long. 15 minutes, because you have put pressure on them, they will sit and chant. That's that difference. We can observe this in these students, particularly. And then they will say, I didn't get enough sleep last night. Or, then I'm tired. And all these things. And why? This power of Kama Ragam, that power is not there in that. Is it not? You tell the young man or young girl, oh, you have to realize yourself now. Sit down and chant Hare Krishna. There is no power behind it. Kama Ragam Galanilaha is not there. Whereas if you tell them you want to become a banker or an engineer or a doctor, and you study for that, this degree will get you there. He will sit there and study whole day and night. But you can understand that from this verse. Kama Raga Balanyudaha. Why we have to discuss all these things is, unless we understand Satvagunam, we won't take it. We'll think that this Rajagunam is, most of the people think that if I have a lot of strength in me, I will become very powerful in spiritual life also. And I'll control my spiritual life, I'll chant my rounds and I'll do everything what I have to do and I'll become perfect. That's not how, that is coming from Rajagunam. It is. It's not the Sattvam. It is not Satyam. So, Krishna is saying here, suppose you tell the student to get your admission into college or whatever course or whatever he wants to do, that, or if he wants a rank in the university or something like that, he is willing to stay all night and not sleeping and he is willing to study. And, or you can also see that in the companies when you are working, like all of these IT companies, they are working 16-18 hours, isn't it? They are willing to go and start, they are willing to work there from night 10 o'clock to morning 6 o'clock because the supporting companies, to the other companies are supporting depending on the time difference. They are willing to do all that. Why? Money is coming. That's the force behind it. If you tell that person, you get up for mangalarati, he says, oh, it's a bit too much. He says, because there is no power behind it. This is the difference. So one is sattvagunam, driven by sattvagunam, and other shraddhayanilaha, there is shraddha there. Other one is driven by kamam, ragam, balanilaha, dambam, ahankaram. So that's a very marked difference between the two. The driving forces between the two is two different forces. One coming from shraddha, other one coming from the rajasic nature. Dambam, ahankaram, kamam, ragam. So that force will be always powerful than the power force that's coming from shraddha. So the force that's coming from shraddha will be sattvikam. Therefore everything will be simple, everything will be very steady, and over a long period of time they will reach the goal. The other one, they will never reach the goal. They will create a lot of trouble in this world and they will go. That's the way it happens. You can look at the world and see this happening all the time. Big people. And they will create such an impression in the world that they have got the answer. The answer is this. What Krishna is saying, they will give you such an impression that in a very short time, the empire has grown. This is all I am talking about in the spiritual life, not in the material life. Material life, you reject that completely. In spiritual life, these things happen. They will come and create a big show and then they eventually they will drop out and go. They cannot stay. Why? It's coming from dambam, ahangaram, kamam and ragam. It's not coming from the satogam. It's not coming from the shraddha. It's not coming from the shraddha. So, this you can see even in a simple level. Suppose we are discussing Bhagavad Gita. We would like to sit and discuss Bhagavad Gita whole day. But as soon as the... But after a while, people will find it difficult. Isn't it? You will find it difficult. You won't find... So one by one people will say, I have to go this, I have to do this, or I have to take prasadam, or something like that will come. And everybody is looking for liberation, but at the same time, everybody wants bhakti, mukti, everything. But sometimes people will ask this question, I don't want anything in life, I only want to realize the self. Nothing else I want in my life. So what do you do for realization of the self? That those very same people who have said that to you, after a while they will get up and they will go. They won't be able to stay. Because or those who are sitting back, they will fall asleep. Why is that? Kamaraga Balanigaha. That power is not there in the spiritual life as much as what you get from dambam, ahangaram, kamam and ragam. Even in spiritual life it's like that. Even in spiritual life it's like that. Because there's no strength. Unless you have the strength inside, it won't allow you to sit and do what you... Because unless I have determination inside, isn't Krishna says, that's why Krishna says that Vyasayalmiyavadhi. Vyasayalmiyavadhi is not there. Something we are doing in spiritual life, and the force is coming from dambam, ahangaram, kamam and ragam. And that won't stay for very long. After a while, it will lose its power. Along with that, we also drop. So, anything, that is why, if we have some selfish motive in life, and in order to, if that selfish motive is giving us the energy to do it, then we won't sleep, isn't it? That's what it is proving to us. Suppose there is a strong selfish interest behind it, then you won't sleep, then you will work day and night, anything what is necessary. That selfishness will hold us very strongly into that. And we will stay in that. So, for his austerities and penances, that person who has got that selfishness in him, selfish motive means, selfishness is a part of this. Which one? Dambam, ahangaram, kamam, ragam. It's a part of that. And that power will be there in that. and he will do anything what is necessary for getting his job done, isn't it? Particularly, you will notice this, this tamogunam in a person. There, most of the, I don't know whether you have noticed, those people who live in the forest, yeah, they are called in India, they call it as Adivasis, who lives in the forest. Or those who are worshipping their own deities in their forest. They do a lot of things which we can't do. Walking over the fire, they can do. Walking over the fire. When they walk over the fire, if you see that, you will feel as though your feet is burning. To that extent. If you ask them why you are doing this, things like this, a lot of this kind of worship you can observe in the villages and in the interior forests and all that. They will say, oh, I have made an offering to the deity whom they are worshipping in that way. And this is in everywhere in the world. People do all these sorts of things. And I have asked, I wanted some help, and he has given it to me. So in return, I committed this, I'll do this. Walking over the fire. Sometimes you see people put this trident through the tongue. You will see these photos also sometimes. Through the tongue. And you will see, when you see that, you're really finding out they do all such things. So, they will do all this because of their, that power that's coming from the dambam, hangaram, kamam, ragam. And the power is there. So, desire is a power. Desire is a power, isn't it? It gives you some power. Fear is another power. This is all power. When Krishna says, belam, amaraga belanyiraha, it is a balam, it is a strength in a person, which comes from fear and which comes from desire. And if you have decided that I want something to be done, something has to happen, if you want something to get done, then that's the power inside that decision, isn't it? But that power, what you get in all these things from the fear, and that comes from the desire, or from your commitment to get something done, all these things will disappear when you become spiritual. When you become spiritual, they will disappear. Because we don't need it in spiritual life. We don't need it. Spiritual life is you don't have any desires. That is proper spiritual life. And we don't have any desires and we don't need anything in spiritual life. It's moving away from all these things. But majority of the people in spiritual life also, they're thinking that this is what that's keeping their spiritual life going. So these people, O Krishna is saying, who are performing extreme austerities and penances, but they are able to do that because of the strong power of their desire which is coming from inside, and they are able to hold on to that for a while. That's why Krishna is saying there, tapyande ye tabo janaha. See that second line Krishna says? Tapyande ye tabo janaha. Dambam ahangara samyukta kamaraga balanyaraha. So, they are determined that only if I get it, after that I will stop, till then I will continue doing it. That firm decision, determination inside them. So, but Krishna is saying, through these things, you can get some siddhis. Some power, siddhi. Siddhi means mystic powers, you can get. But, knowledge you won't. Self-realization, knowledge of the self, won't get it through any of these means. This is the most important thing. You can get some siddhis, mystic perfections. You can get that through these things. But knowledge of the self and self-realization won't happen through this process. Which one? Dambam, ahangaram, kamam, raga, bala, niraha. If you perform your austerities coming from with the force that's coming from these things, it will not take you to spiritual knowledge or self-realization. It can only happen if it is in the sattvagunam, it is coming from shraddha, satya shraddha, and if the life is a yajnam, sacrifice. So that is an important thing. And, or neither knowledge of the self or experience of Krishna. Experience of Krishna. And because in this world, according to your effort, you get the result, isn't it? What is the effort? You reserve. Spiritual life is just the opposite.
spiritual language is the opposite. Unfortunately, we bring that from material life, because in material life it's like that, we work hard and to get some results. And we think that that principle works in spiritual life, and that will not work. Because there, in the material life, everything is driven by dambham, angaram, kamam, ragam. That is the power, motivating power behind it. That's the engine for the material life. If you bring that into spiritual life, it will not work. That's the point Krishna is making in this verse. It's a very important point, that how ignorant we are when we come to spiritual life. We are so determined in the first year. Second year, that determination slowly wanes away. By 10th or 11th year, it's not working, we'll say. It's not meant for working. People are chanting the holy name for so many years and they gave it up. They say, it's not working. How will it? It's not meant for working. It's knowledge of the self and realization of the self is a totally different thing. It has nothing to do with your effort. It's completely indifferent from that. So there, what is important is according to your surrender. That is where success comes. Not due to your effort. Rather, by surrender, more and more one surrenders, that's where success comes from. Where success comes from. So, that surrender is the force in spiritual life. Whereas, Shraddha, Dambam, Ahangaram, Kamam, Ragam, that's the force in material life, and you can't put that into spiritual life. And it is through surrender. Surrender gives you the power. More we surrender to Krishna, more we accept Krishna's authority, more we live in this world as a surrendered soul to Krishna, accepting everything what Krishna has given to us without questioning that, accepting that it is my prarabdham that's coming and keeping my life in this way, not due to my effort, it won't happen. So in that way, when you adjust your own thinking and you are continuously accepting everything, remember that verse in the Brahma's prayers to Krishna, isn't it? Tattenu gambam susamikshamano bunjanameo almagradam vibhagam kridva kabubhir vidadham namaste jivedayo mukti pade sadhaya bhag. This is exactly that. That tattenu gambam susamikshamanam bunjanameo almagradam vibhagam. That if I am getting distress in life, it is my own creation. Almagradam it is. I have done something to somebody and it's coming back to me. That's the way I have to understand that. That is a devotee's approach. Anugamba susamikshamanam. That means always he is looking for Krishna's grace, mercy. Not by his effort. It's not based on his effort. Tatenugambam susamikshamanam. Gunjaname valpagradam vibhagam. When distress comes in life, he takes it without complaint about it. Khrit var vabubhyo vidharam namaste. All the time through his heart, through his mind, through his body, always remain as a slave to Krishna. Surrender to Krishna. Surrendered state, he lives in this world. Jivedayo mukti padesa bhaiva. Such a person, he is entitled for liberation when he leaves this body. So, that is spiritual. Material way is this, what Krishna is saying here. Dhamva ahangara samyukta kamaryaga pelanyulaha. That will go on. And if we impose that in spiritual life also, we will have a lot of problems, conflicts and difficulties with, and that is what you find all the time, is it not? Everywhere, this is what you find, dambam ahangaram, that I've done better than you in spiritual life. I have to prove that to somebody. Whom are we trying to prove? So, no understanding, proper understanding. We don't take all this seriously. We think that we have done better, we, like in the material life, we say, I've done better than him. I made more money than him in life. My house is bigger than his house. I drive a better car than him. The same attitude in spiritual life also. Where is it going to end? So that's what it is. So, after saying this, it is that what makes that a success. Spiritual life makes a success. That is the important point Krishna is saying like that there. And, after saying that, Krishna is saying that the these five things, that is, Krishna is going to look at them now, seriously, after this. So, there.
So earlier Krishna spoke Sattva, Rajogunam, Tamogunam, isn't it? And we spoke about them, the three different ways Shraddha goes into. And he also mentioned about that Yajande Satviyaha. Remember he mentioned there that fourth verse. Yajande Satviya Devan, he says there. Satviya Dehan. Yaksharakshamsi Rajasa. Tayanam Bhudagunam Shani Yajande Tamasa Jana. He mentions that before, isn't it? So after saying that, Krishna said these two verses. Which one?
Yeah. Ashastra Vishram Khoyam.
Tapyandi.
Ye tabo janaha. Tamba hangara samyuta kamaraga. Balanyaha.
So according to what sattvam.
Remember that word, sattvam? It was in the third verse.
Sattvani Rupa Sarvasya. Important words, huh? Sattvani Rupa Sarvasya. So, sattva means the baggage you brought with you from previous life. That bag will contain a lot of things from several lifetimes. And according to that, your Shraddha will go. The Shraddha will depend on that baggage inside. And there Krishna said, it is that Shraddha is behind the force in your spiritual life, isn't it? Yo yas shraddha sa eva saha. So, in that, those who have got sattva gunam, they will worship the demigods. They will worship the demigods. And those who have got rajogunam, Krishna is saying there that
yaksharakshamsi rajasa.
Yajande sattviya devan. Those who have got sattva-gunam in that baggage, they will worship the devadas, demigods. And those who have got rajagunam in there, they will worship the yakshas and rakshas, brahma-rakshas and all that. And for those who have got the tamogunam, they will worship the prayadam and bhudam.
Prayadam, bhudaganam, chani, yajande, tamasa, janaha.
There Krishna has put that. In all these things, there is worship, aradhana. Worship is there. And all of them are performing yajnam. All of them are performing yajnam. But only thing is, according to their vasana inside, and their shraddha, and their pragati inside, they will act. They will act. And that is what in the next verse Krishna is saying, that some people, they will not perform any, they will not look into shastra. Instead, they will perform very intense austerities and penances. Intensely. Very intense austerities and penances. And give pain to their own body. Give pain to their own body. And that Krishna saying is coming from ahangaram, dambham, kamam, ragam. Dambham, ahangaram, kamam, ragam. And it has got that power coming from that. What? Power coming from that. That is why that words, ashastra vihidam ghoram,
tapyande ye tapo janaha, dambham ahangara samyukta kamaraga balanyudaha.
Important words. Huh? So, for example, what Krishna is saying is, what they are doing is not mentioned in the shastra anywhere. They are just doing on their own. Sometimes people make that kind of austerities and penances they perform. And if it is based on shastram, then it is acceptable. But it is not based on the shastram. For example, violence. If it is based on shastram, it is acceptable. Doctor, in the hospital, he does surgery. Isn't it? That's also violence. But behind that, there is authorization from the medical science. Medical sciences authorize that. Similarly, in spiritual life also, when we do something, yajnam or sacrifice, if it is based on shastram, if it is done, it won't bind him. It won't bind him. There are a lot of things to understand in these things. Only thing is we don't care. We just do things because somebody has told us to do like that. Without thinking. Any time, any sacrifice is performed, the principle behind that is there should not be any expectation of result. This is the first thing. This is the first thing. And if there is expectation of result, then it is not yajnam. It's not idamna mama, idamna mama. All the mantram that is chanted is, it's not mine, it's not mine, it's not mine. So, Krishna's point is, if it, any yajnam, what is performed, if it is done, executed according to the shastram, it will not bind him. It will not bind him. But here, as example Krishna is saying, there is no shastric injunctions. But according to his strength from inside, he has made up his own shastram, in other words, and he is doing things like that. And ghora tapyande ye janaha. All these examples of in the Purana, what they show to us, Ravana, Hiranyakashipu, Hiranyaksha, they all performed very intense penances, isn't it? And nobody can do like them, what they have done. Such intense austerities they have done. And we have another example in the Bhagavatam, in the 10th canto you will see, that, what's his name? Glomasura, who cut off his body and started offering to Lord Shiva, isn't it? And in Kedaryam he did that. He set up a big fire and Narada Maharshi told him, if you want very fast result, whom should I worship? Yeah, Brihaspati, that's his name. Brihaspati. So Narada Maharshi told him, if you want a quick result, Lord Shiva is the best. And he went up and to Kedaryam and set up his fire sacrifice. And what he did? He set up the fire and he started cutting pieces from his body and putting to that. Can you imagine that? Mm-hmm. Cutting your own body pieces and throwing it into the fire. They are not stupid people. They have higher intelligence. They know. They have such strong faith in these things that if they can make that kind of austerities, result must come. This is there. And finally, for a long time, Lord Shiva didn't appear, seeing that what kind of devotee have I got who has come now. So he was in a difficulty. Finally, he had to come. He had no choice. He had to come. So he did that. Pulasra did that. And for Ghoram. This is Ghoram. Shastra Vihidam Ghoram. And where is that determination coming from? Dambam, Ahangaram, Kamam, Ragam. What was the Kamam and Ragam behind it? And so she wanted Sri Parvati. That was his attraction for her. So, Lord Shiva tried very hard not to come, but finally he appeared. And in the Bhagavatam, if you look, you will see what has happened there. That, let's look at the Bhagavatam because.
10:88:21.
Shiva gave him the benediction. Devam so Ambrai Pabiyan, Varan Bhudavayanaham, Payavaham, Yase Yasegaram Shirshmi, Dasi Yasam Yelamidi. That was the blessing to him. Whoever head you put your hands on, he will die. If you look into the verse, two verses before, Shiva was avoiding him, not to come. But, Tadha Mahakaruniga Sadurjadir, Yadhavayam Jagnirivotido Analad. Nigrahya dorbhyam bhujayor nevarayal tatsparshana bhuya upaskrida kridi. Nigrahya dorbhyam bhujayor nevarayal. Then, holding both hands together, tatsparshana bhuya upaskrida kridi. Edhavayam jagni rivoti donalan. Tada Mahakarniya Sadujjaniya. When Shiva appeared in front of Mrigasura, Mrigasura is ready to expecting that, why haven't you come so far? That Garam inside. Garam inside. But when seeing that Mrigasura's body, Shiva is very compassionate. Very easily he gives the mercy. So he says to Mrigasura, why are you doing all these things? You only have to bring some water and pour it on my deity. That's enough for me. I don't need all this kind of austerities from you. And what Mrigasura says, I want a benediction like this, that whoever head I put my hand on, he should die. And without sufficient thinking, Shiva offered him that benediction also. And the first thing what he said, let me test it on you. To Shiva, he says to him, let me test it, what you have given it to me. Isn't it? So finally, Lord Shiva started running, because he was following him. And he went to Vaikuntham. Right up to Vaikuntham he has gone, our Mrigasura. And that is where, and then he himself, Krishna took the form of a brahmachari and made him to think that this benediction cannot work. Convinced him like that. Mm. And finally Krishna says to him that, put it on your own head and try if it works or not. Is it won't work? Because Shiva cannot give you any benediction like that. He lives in the cemetery, and what power has he got? Like that, talking with him, he changed his way of thinking, and he made him to think that Shiva has actually cheated him. But as soon as he put his hand on his own head, he turned into ashes, isn't it? So this is what Krishna is saying here, ashastra vihitam ghoram. Anything if you do outside shastram, it may be ghoram, you may succeed, but finally it will fail. This is only to prove to us that only shastram is acceptable. It should be based on shastram. Any austerities, any penances, spiritual life, everything has to be based on shastram. If you don't take shastram into account and do things with your own mind, then tomorrow if it fails, Krishna says, don't blame me. It's not based on shastram. Just to stress that point, these stories are spoken there. Ashastra vihidam ghoram. So, he did not know how to approach Lord Shiva, who, our Mrigasura. He didn't know how to approach him properly, isn't it? And you can see this, how we get ourselves destroyed in that process, in this way. We ourselves get destroyed. Sometimes through our ahangaram, false ego, dambam, ahangaram, kamam, ragam, we create things in this world. And that itself becomes a cause of our own destruction. Remember this nuclear energy, nuclear reactor they built in Japan, you remember some time ago? And that very nuclear reactor what they built, when that failed, they're all running away, and now they are in serious trouble. Still, nobody knows how many died. Nobody knows how much effect it had on the people. They're keeping it all under the carpet, not telling the world. This is always happening. They'll keep it under the carpet, and because they can't do anything about it now. This has happened in a big nuclear power plant, I think. It failed, and it has caused a lot of people died, and a lot of people are sick because of that. This is all because of this approach, ashastra vihidam ghoram. They won't consult shastram. They will do, because inside is dambam, ahangaram, kamam, ragam. So any effort in this world which has come from these, dambam, ahangaram, kamam, ragam, Krishna is saying, it will finally fail. It won't work. It will be a disaster. So that you can see, it is exactly this Mrigasura story you will remember when you read this story about Japan's nuclear reactor, how it has put in your own head, the hand, isn't it? So it is all ashastriyam, ashastra vihidam ghoram. Because there is dambam there, and dambam means to show to others we are better than you. That is dambam.
to show it to others that we are better than you, and or to show your own power to others. And dambham, and it will be followed by ahangaram, ahangaram, and then kamam and and ragam, kamam and ragam, and bhogam also, to enjoy. Lot of enjoyment I want in life. I want to get a lot of enjoyment from this world. And that is what you have seen in Ravana. In Ravana you find that. If Ravana didn't have that, he would have been a great personality. Who says this? Hanuman says this about him. His problem was this, that desiring to enjoy. Desiring to enjoy. Hanuman gave him a certificate like that. He said, Ravana, you are such a nice person. And you have got so many capacities, so much, such a great capacity you have. But unfortunately, it's all driven by this Ashastra Vihidam Ghoram. Dambam, Ahangaram, Kamam, all the three things. And but tapasya is plenty there in Ravana. He was capable of performing severe austerities. But at the same time, he had this problem. Instead of Satvagunam, this Rajasic, Tamasic nature. Ravana performed fantastic penances, unbelievable penances. Kamaraga Badanigaha. So, those who perform austerities like that, what will happen to them? That is the next verse Krishna is saying. But you can also notice one thing. When Ravana is there in the Ramayana, there is another personality there in the same place, Vibhishana. Is it not? Similarly, among the Kauravas, when they had all the problems in Hastinapur and Indraprastha, when the Kauravas and the Pandavas were fighting, the Pandavas were under Krishna's directions. Kauravas were Dhammam, Ahangaram, Kamam, Ragam. That was driving them, is it not? So in both these places you will notice there was one person kept under Sattvagunam. Vibhishana in Ramayanam and Vidura in the Bhagavadam. Vidura in the Bhagavadam. So when Vibhishana walked out, Valmiki says there is no hope anymore there, to things to change. He was the only hope there, Vibhishana, to give them some proper direction, proper guidance to Ravana and to others who were all his advisors. But when Vibhishana walked out from there, Valmiki says, it's finished, nothing can be done. Equally, in the Bhagavadam you will see, when Vidura walked out from Indraprastha in Mahasenapur, what did Shri Brahmarshi say in the Bhagavadam? He says, the very good fortune of the Kaurava family is gone, he said. Because the only person who was in the Sattvagunam there was Vidura. And Vidura had that quality, that whatever, if Vidura had spoken and what, if they had taken it seriously, then war could have been avoided. Mahabharata war. But instead, what did they do? They drove him off from there. Is it not? You know, in the third canto. When you read third canto, you will see. These are the lessons to learn. That if you don't hold on to Sattvagunam, whatever you may do in Rajagunam and Tamogunam, eventually it will fail. To prove that. So similarly here, Vidura, when Vidura left, that Salsangam is over in the Mahabharata war. Salsangam is finished. When Vibhishana left, then Salsangam is over in Ramayana. There. In the four Ravana. Four Ravanas. So, that is what Krishna is saying here. Then you can see that Karshayanda Sharirastam Bodhagrama Ajayadasa Mam Chaibanda Sharirastam Tanvidhi Asura Nishayan. Tanvidhi Asura Nishayan. So, Krishi Guruvandaha Sharirastam. By their austerities, the only benefit is they will make their body to go through severe austerities and make it thinner and thinner. And thinner and thinner. So, you can see this in nature, in human society very much. Some people get into this too much with the body. They won't eat properly because the figure will go, I believe. They want to look, keep their body look good to others, isn't it? And they will do any kind of, won't eat properly. And always fearful, oh, my shape of the body is not right. What is this body? They can't think anything further than that.
So that is, and then they start this dieting business. It all comes from that. Isn't it? It's such a big industry, that is, dieting industry. Every day somebody is coming with a new idea, how to get the weight out from your body. And instead of eating properly, oh, I can't eat that, I can't eat this, I get diabetes, so frightened about diabetes, I'm not eating anything. And everything is like that. So many things they can't eat because of this. So, kashayanda sharirastam. What Krishna is saying here, not purely about the dieting, when they engage in dieting is another type of austerity, isn't it? But instead, through severe penances, making the body sick. Sharirastam Karshayandaha.
See what Krishna says there?
Karshayanda Sharirastam. That exposing the body to severe penances. And
he says here,
Bhudagrama Ajayadasa. That means he gives a little bit pain to the Andaryami inside. Even though Andaryami is not affected by any of these things, Andaryami doesn't like that. That you are working against Andaryami's decision inside. I'm not saying that you have to go and eat all the food in this world. That's not what it means. What Krishna is saying is, that Krishna's philosophy is, what Krishna has spoken to us before, yukta ahara viharasya, yukta cheshtasya karmasu, yukta satmava bhodasya, yogo bhavati dukha. That yoga life, yoga state, that's what Krishna recommends. Not dieting to that kind of extreme. Some people are very much into that, isn't it? And some others, they don't care, completely let loose, eat anything, everything. That's not also acceptable. So, that is what Krishna uses the word, yukta ahara viharasya, yukta cheshtasya karmasu, yukta satmava bhodasya, yogo bhavati dukha. So, there Krishna is saying, bhudagramam karshayanda sharirastam bhudagrama achetasa. In other words, he is not taking into account the presence of Andaryami inside and he is doing whimsically things. Eating, sleeping, everything. Or he controls, so he is not considering that Andaryami inside, and Andaryami is supposed to control this body throughout life, isn't it? He is the one who is providing, he is the one who has to digest the food, it is his responsibility, digestion and also blood circulation, breathing, everything is Andaryami has to control. Instead we take control of that and torture the body through our own ideas. So there is that Devata inside us, which is Andaryami, is present inside us, Jiva also, is it not? So, and he is the one who is the personality, we call it, the Jiva, Chaitanyam inside. And who is inside? And that Chaitanyam, who is inside, we are asking him, move away, I make the decision. Who is making the decision? My ego, my pride, my attachment and my desires. They make the decision. Instead of that Jiva Chaitanyam, what he makes the decision, we are telling him to move away. And Jiva Chaitanyam is Andaryami's another manifestation inside. So when we do that, actually you are hurting Andaryami. You are not following Andaryami's position there. Karshayanda Sharirastam Bhudagrama Achedasa. Bhudagrama means all the this body is a gramam. It's a village, it's called. In this village, there is all the senses, karanam. Five senses of knowledge, five senses of action, the mind, intelligence. These are all personalities who lives in this village called body, called the body. Five senses of knowledge, five senses of action, mind, intelligence. And then who else is living here? Five material elements is living here. And these five material elements, when they have gone through this process called panjigaram, panjigaram, it has turned to become this body. There is a book about that, panjigaram. You can see how panjigaram happens. Earth, water, air, ether and fire, how they combine together and form this gross material body. And that is why they call it as, due to their interactions only, call it as a conglomerate. And that is what paraspara samyogam, mutual, they help each other, the five material elements, and they form this body. So, this panjigrata shariram, that means which has gone through panjigaram and it has become this body,
in this panchikrita shariram there is panchabhutam, the five material elements. So this is a village. In this village, who are all living here, five material elements are there. They live here. And then we have got the five senses of knowledge and five senses of action. Mind, intelligence, they are all inhabited in this body, in this village called the body. Now, when we do this kind of austerities and penances, we are upsetting these five material elements. They also have devadas associated with that. Isn't it? All of them in the Vedic tradition is devada, personification is there. Suppose you can see, sun is the devada for I. Devada for I. Brahma is the devada for the intelligence. Moon is the devada for the mind. When through your raga dvesham and ahankaram and dambham, if you start doing things without consulting shastram, these devadas who are in the body, they get affected. They get affected. And if you disturb their existence in this body, because it is out of, when Krishna has given us this body, all their support is there for us. That is why we are able to function in this world, through this body. Is it not? Brahma's help is there. You will see cows for body shown, the presence of so many devadas in that body. Similarly, in our body also, all these devadas are present in our different senses. That is why the senses are functioning. So, when we push our way through that, without allowing them to live in this body peacefully, if we start imposing our desires on them, Krishna is saying, Karshayanda Sharirastam Bhutagrama Majayatasaha. You are actually causing problem for them. They are living in your body, but you are motivated by your own desires inside, and you don't consult Shastra either. And you go and do things, very intense, severe austerities and penances to fulfill your desires. Therefore, you are actually torturing them inside this body. So those people, Krishna is saying here, they don't know how to use their intelligence properly. That means they don't know how to consult Shastram and act properly. Therefore, Mam Chaivanda Sharirastam Tan Vidhi Asura Nishchayan. Their Nishchayam, their decisions are all Asurik. Asurik Nishchayam. And therefore, their mind is not very balanced. And the Krishna says, Mam Chaiva Anda Sharirastam. And what Krishna is saying, you see that word? Mam Chaivanda Sharirastam. Mam Chaiva Anda Sharirastam. He says, they do not know that I am living there inside that body and they are giving me this pain by their own desires and plans, making like that. And Tan Vidyam Asura Nishchaya. And that determination for doing those things is coming from their Asuric nature. Asuric nature. We must know these things. You know why? Because sometimes we ourselves do these things. Unnecessarily torture our own body without following the Shastra. Without following the Shastra. We all do this mistake sometimes in life. Without knowing Shastra, what Shastra is dictating, not taking into account. But out of our own ego, our own dambham, our own ahankaram, or our own ragam, attachment, or our own calm of desires, we will go and do things without talk. This is in every religion, you will see these things happening. Some people do such extreme penances. That is not authorized. That's what Krishna is saying there. So, only to acquire some name or fame in this world or some things like that. You can see sometimes to get their name in this Guinness Book of Records, what all kinds of things people do. They grow their nail something like 20 feet or 30 feet long and this, oh, he has got this name. Or their hair to such long hair. And or stand in one leg for 20, 30 legs. All belongs to this category. All belongs to this category. If you ask them why you are doing that, even among devotees,
sometimes you will see that who can eat the maximum number of gulab jamun competition among devotees. That's not Shastri. It's coming from this Ajnana. It's coming from the Ajnana. And they will say, and they want recognition among the devotee community that I can eat one whole bucket load of gulab jamun. Krishna doesn't accept any of this. This is all our ignorance. Ajnana inside. We are not criticizing. What I'm saying is that if we don't accept Shastram, when Krishna is saying to us, when you do such things, if you jack up hundreds of gulab jamuns inside, who has to digest it? Krishna has to digest them. So therefore, Vaishvanaran inside, he has got a problem. You are loading all this gulab. Oh, it's all Prasadam Prabhu. It's not like that. It doesn't work like that. You have to be conscious of this, that Vaishvanara inside, you are torturing him by your ego. Through your ego you are doing all this. Same thing in so many ways you can see in life. We make such, this is all coming from that Rajogunam and Tamogunam. Equally, people going, climbing the Everest. What for? To come get their name registered somewhere. Isn't it? Or Kilimanjaro, whatever it may be, doesn't matter. People go and do all these things. What for? Have they understood anything about spiritual life? What has it got to do with spiritual life? Going to the Everest or going to Kilimanjaro? What has it got to do with spiritual life? No understanding. Krishna is saying, you are giving torturing to your body and do this and to get the name registered or recognized somewhere in this world. And Krishna is saying here that that this kind of understanding of life, he says, Vedavyasa Maharshi, Vasishtha, Angiras, Atri, Pulasya, they will never teach us. They will not teach us this kind of things. Suppose I have gone on top of Everest and come back. Do you get any benefit from that? Or do I get any benefit from that? Except my name is in the list of those who have climbed the Everest. Has anybody else got any benefit except that I've gone and polluted the whole place with all the plastic bags? What they have to clean up now, Everest, I believe. Because of all those people who have gone there with all their garbage, plastic bottles and all the other things what they carried with them. And all that abode is going on disturbed, like that. Environmental disturbances. Nobody got any benefit from that. So that kind of penances and austerities, Krishna says, Karshayanda Shariratam, Bodhagrama Ajayatasa, Mam Jaivanda Shariratam, Tanvindi, Asura Nishchaya. Asuric it is. Asura Nishchaya. Asuric nature that is. To go and get all, doing all these kind of things, to get recognition in the world. To get recognition in the world. So, but I feel, oh, I have achieved something. But has the world got any benefit? Nothing. Nothing has come out of it. What did you get? This has been going on with this Everest business, isn't it? First men went, then now women also went following. They've also gone and done that. Now there are so many teams doing, and there is no schools and colleges for training them to climb Everest. In so many places, it's going on. Mountaineering, they call it. So this is all nothing to do, no benefit. That's what Krishna is saying.
Yeah.
You see, Manjaiwan, except that they are torturing Antaryami who is present inside. By their actions, and tan vidyam, asura nischayan. It's all coming from asuric nature. All coming from asuric nature. So you can also look at it this way. By going, climbing all these things and coming back, has it improved my sacrificing nature? Has it improved my truthfulness? Or my steadiness in life? Or my merciful karunya modaya, what I'm supposed to have to other living entities, nothing is going to change. It will all remain the same. So, externally to make some achievement, to get some achievement in this world, externally, people are struggling very hard to get some external achievement, external achievements. But internally to purify oneself, people don't have any interest. People don't have any interest. So that is why only when it is towards internal development, it is sattvayam. If it is all done for external recognition, external success, it's all asuryam. It is all asuryam. And that is why Vedavyasa Maharshi says this in the Mahabharatam. He puts it very openly about it. What he says is, dharmam prasangat na acharanti. Pavam prayatnena samacharanti. Ascharya medan hi manushya loge. Amagam parityajya usham vibandhi. It's a famous verse in the Bhagavatam. Sorry, in the Mahabharatam. Vedavyasa is saying to us, dharmam prasangat na acharanti. He says that human nature seems to be that the Mahabharatam says here that this human nature is dharmam prasangat na acharandi. If you teach them what is dharmam, they will not take it. They will not take it. They say, for half an hour or so to sit down and chant the holy name, they won't listen. They won't do it. But similarly, there is Bhagavad Gita. There is so much valuable instructions to the human society to study and to take benefit from in the spiritual life in Bhagavad Gita. They won't take it. They won't take it. And if you say, if you tell them to do it, they'll say, oh, can't understand anything. It's not very interesting. Something like that they will say about Bhagavad Gita, they won't read it. And Vedavyasa is saying, when personified dharma comes and stand in front of them, even then they will not do what is dharma, religious thing, principles. And sinful activities is a very difficult thing to do. And for example, to get into a plane and to plant a bomb, or to drive a plane and to go and hit one huge tower and to kill hundreds of people in that. These are all very difficult things. Those things, if you tell them, there are people ready to do it. But if you tell that same person, half an hour if you sit down and chant the holy name, they cannot do it. That's what Vedavyasa is saying. It's an amazing thing, isn't it? You can get people to do anything in this world, but you can't get the people to do the right thing, dharma, in this world. He's saying here, dharmam prasangat na acharandi. If you tell them about dharmam, they cannot do it. But, pavam prayatnena samacharandi. The sinful things, they will go and put all their energy and effort into it, and they will do such sinful things and get their results from that. You can see this terrorism itself is a perfect example, isn't it? People always ask this question, how come, where do they get their strength for? To plant a bomb, to kill so many people, whether it is tube or aeroplane or whatever it is. Where do they get that strength from? And how difficult it is if you look at it. You have to hide from the police, you have to hide from all the authorities, from the public, and then you even know that your life is gone, probably with that, isn't it? Suicide bombers. And they're willing to sacrifice all these things just to commit some sinful things in the world. To the same person, if you tell him that you sit down and chant the holy name for a while, for an hour or so every day, he says, it's not possible. I can't do it, he says. That is what Vedavyasa is also saying. He says, dharmam prasangat na acharandi, pavam prayatnena samacharandi. So, they put all their effort to do something sinful, even though dharmam, executing dharmam is easier. So, instead, pavam, sinful thing, even though it is troublesome, they are willing to do it. Then he says, ascharya medan hi manushya loge. This human world is an amazing thing, he is saying there. Why? Amradam parityajya visham vibandhi. If you give them nectar, they won't drink. They look for poison and they will drink poison happily. This is the human nature he is talking about. And he says this human nature is an amazing thing. And even if you give hand over the nectar to them, they will throw it away. Instead, they will go and drink the poison. In the spiritual life also, this comes in a different way. Sometimes, there is good water in the well. We won't drink that. We won't drink that. Often you will see, we will go and buy a Pepsi Cola or Coca Cola. People do all kinds of things, isn't it? But they're thinking that's come from the factory. So, it must be better than the well in the water. There may be bacteria in the water, whereas this is all manufactured in the factory and it will not cause any problem inside me, so I'll drink that. So, so somebody tested this Pepsi Cola or one of those colas, and they found out that in the wash basin, when you have a lot of bacteria or something like that to purify, you just pour this Pepsi Cola or Coca Cola, it will clean up the whole place. So when Swamiji was saying this in a class in Bhagavad Gita, he was talking about this, he said that it is such a poison and that you can use it for cleaning the wash basins. If you pour that, it will clear up the whole place. And that's what you are taking it inside. So one person who was sitting audience, he says, Swamiji, I thought, oh, why did you know that? Oh, it has got that effect, is it? So it will clean up all inside. Yeah. This is the brain. This is the brain. It has gone like this. Now, it is to them that you are teaching Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam. What will work? How can it work? So, so when he understood that, the power of that acid, what is in the cola, whatever that is. So he thought that it will purify the basin. So maybe it will purify inside me as well. This is our Shraddha. So our Shraddha, wherever our Shraddha is, because the Shraddha is in this cola drink, Pepsi or Coca-Cola, whatever it is, along with that, you will only be able to understand even only in that way. You see how it happens? That suppose your Shraddha is in all these things, because their Shraddha is in all these things, even when he understands things, he can only understand up to that level. He can't go beyond than that. This is the problem. This is the problem. That is why Krishna is slowly taking us to ahara, the food. Food, importance of the food, isn't it? That is why in the Devi Bhagavatam it says, Yadevi Sarvabhudeshu Buddhirubena Samstida. Namastase, 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 namo nama. In everyone who is present, Maya Devi Prakriti, she has given the intelligence. And that buddhi will also depend on these things. Prakriti will depend on that. And even to understand something properly, you need Krishna's grace. You need Krishna's grace. So, here Krishna is saying, don't endeavor very hard, unnecessarily, because according to your effort, you will require results. You will expect the results also. Because that is the mentality in the world, business mentality, isn't it? I have invested so much, I should get this result from that. So this business mentality, business intelligence, if you use that, and if you try your whole life with this business mentality in spiritual life, it will not get you anywhere. That's the point Krishna is indicating to us. Karshayanda sharirastam bhudagramasam ajetasaha. That mamjayivanda sharirastam panvidhi asura nishchayan. Panvidhi asura nishchayan. Because that attitude is itself wrong. The attitude itself is wrong. That is what Krishna is saying here. Attitude itself is wrong. That, remember I mentioned this story before, Narayana Brahman's story. He used to start rolling the stones from the bottom of the hill at 6 o'clock in the morning. He will push it all the way to the top of the hill. Work whole day and get there. And by evening, the stone will reach, the heavy stone, boulder, what he has pushed out to the top, it will get there by about evening, 5-6 o'clock. And he will push it down from the top when it gets there. And it will come back very fast. Heavy thing, isn't it? And there was a small tank at the bottom of the hill. So this whole stone will come down rolling and fall into that water. And the water will get splashed. And he used to enjoy that. And that enjoyment is only about 5 seconds by the time it rolls down. Whereas to get it to the top of the hill, it has taken me whole day to work, isn't it? So his eldest brother, Agnihotri, Agnihotri was a learned person in the Shastra. So he says to Narayana one day, he said, why do you do this every day like this? Narayana says, I enjoy doing this. He said, not, he says. So, but you're not putting that stone there, you're pushing it down from there, he said. So Narayana says, no, there is another happiness there. In pushing it all the way up, I get some happiness. And in the evening, pushing it down from there, I get some other happiness, he says. So when it comes and falls into the water, I really like it, he said. So he says to him, that's only for a very short time, isn't it? Not even a minute you get from there. And for that you have to work these 12 hours to get into the top. So that is why everybody calls you as a mad person. The elder brother told him like this. So if you call me as a mad person, Narayana replies him, then you have to call everyone in this world as a mad person. He says to him, because everybody is doing exactly the same thing. Whole life they are struggling to become happy, but for a little bit of so-called happiness, which they will never get it, and the effort is only a waste, and they are working so hard, they can't sleep at night, and day and night they are working, their food is not even, they can't take it on time, no sleep properly, and only struggling very, very hard. All for what purpose? To become happy one day. But can they not sit happily otherwise? But to become happy tomorrow, they are doing it today. That is the understanding. But that tomorrow will never come. Will never come. Continuously struggling. Karshayanda sharirastam. Krishna is saying like that. Karshayanda sharirastam udagrama achayatastam. That karshayanda sharirastam means that. That happiness, what we are looking for, has to come from the soul, from Atma. Krishna is saying, and how to achieve that, people do not know that, and therefore people are doing these kind of austerities and penances. One person went to Lord Buddha and told him that he was performing very intense austerities. Buddha told him, have you seen this veena, the instrument, veena, musical instrument? He said, yes. Have you seen that? He said, yes. Do you know music? He said. I know a little bit, he said. So, veena has got three strings on that, the three strings. If you tighten it very much, what will happen? He said, it will break, isn't it? You cannot use it anymore. If you make it very loose, what will happen? You can't play properly. They call it as in the Shastra, they call it Tarasthai, Madhyasthai, Mangrasthai. So many names they have given for that. It's the same thing in other instruments also, you know, or guitar or whatever it is. That strings, the tightening of the strings, depending on that. It has to have a particular tension, it has to have, isn't it? Only then you can play music with that. Similarly, the body, the mind, if you allow them to, if you let them loose freely to do what they want to do, it cannot function. Or if you go the opposite way, intensely austerities and penances, if you apply on the body, also it cannot, it will break. It will break. So neither to let it go loose, but instead you have to keep it in that particular tension, tala, they call it, in that level, you have to maintain that. This was Buddha's instructions to that person who went up to him. Middle way, middle path, in other words. Instead, due to intense desire inside to achieve something, to engage in something asuric nature. Krishna says there, Sanvithi Asura Nishayam, that for that purpose, doing some sadhana or do something else in life. Sometimes people conduct some severe penances and austerities, and that is all asuric, Krishna is saying there. That's all asuric. After doing that, they may look for some kind of perfection, mystic power or something like that. But eventually, they may get some little results from that, but it will not stay. Krishna is saying it will also go. Therefore, Arjuna, He's saying to Arjuna, this asuri process you should not follow. Asuri process you should not follow. Follow the process of satvaguna. That is the important advice in this. Not to follow the asuri process, but to follow the process of satvaguna. That means only if you understand this, when you live your own life, you can adjust your life in such a way, knowing well what is the sattvic way of doing things. That we have to know. Only then you can live in satvaguna, isn't it? How to, not to expose the body to severe austerities and penances, nor allow the body to go let loose freely, but to keep it in that tala, we call it. Tala means the middle level, in a peaceful state. That is the most important. That is satvaguna. To maintaining the body in a peaceful state. That is satvaguna. Even, Krishna is saying, even if you fall into the tamoguna process, don't fall into asuric nature. That is another important thing. Suppose you have fallen into tamoguna. From tamoguna you can come to rajoguna, to satvaguna. But if you fall into this asuric nature, it's much more dangerous. It's much more dangerous. Asura margam is not good. Satvagunam is the right way. Right way is the satvagunam process. So, everywhere, in all life, always trying to improve the satvagunam. Satvagunam. And that is what Krishna's advice is. Satvāl sanjāyate jñānam. Krishna mentions in the Bhagavatam, isn't it? And the Bhagavad Gita also. Satvāl sanjāyate jñānam. So, that is the final instructions from Krishna. So, in where this satvagunam should come? And where should you take care of these things? That's from now on. Krishna is going to talk about that. And the first thing Krishna has touched is aharam, food, prasadam. So, let's look at that word. Things what we consider not important in life, most of the people, ordinary people, don't think very much about the food, isn't it? All sorts of things people eat, we have to ignore that. This is not meant for them. It's meant for those who want to progress in the spiritual path. It's for them, these verses are. Not for anybody else. Others, that is why, that's the reason. The first thing, Krishna's point is, that we will see this aharam in detail, but aharam, particularly eating outside in the restaurants and hotel, is totally forbidden. Mm. It's forbidden. Maybe birthday party, doesn't matter. You can take your own package with you if you have to sit there. Oh, no problem. No matter if it's a 5-star or 10-star, doesn't matter. Not to eat outside. So let's look at this verse. Aharastavi sarvasya vidho bhavati priyaham yajnas tapastadha dhanam tesham bhedam imam shrunu aharastavi sarvasya vidho bhavati priyaham yajnas tapastadha dhanam Desham bhedam imam shrunu. Aharasto vi sarvasya trivida bhavadi bhartrivido bhavadi bharada. Sorry, bhavadi priyaha. Yajnas tapastada dhanam. Desham bhedam imam shrunu. Even the food each person prefers is of three kinds, according to the three modes of material nature. The same is true of sacrifices, austerities, and charity. Now hear of the distinctions between them. Between them. So Krishna says to Arjuna that aharastobhi sarvasya trividho bhavati bharata. Beginning with aharam, everything is in three different ways. People try to eat. And therefore he says to Arjuna, hear this very carefully, he says, aharaha, yajnaha, tapaha, danaha, in three different ways. Because these are the things which one aharam, yajnam, tapasya, dhanam, and devata, we mentioned before. These are the important things which keeps the Sanatana Dharma lively, which gives life to Sanatana Dharma. You won't see this in other religions, stressed about it. For us, it's not important whether we go to Vaikuntham or Kailasam or Golokam or whatever. That is not our concern. Our concern is today, when we are living in this world, how we live here. Because if this is followed properly, the other will come. In a natural way it will come. But if this is not followed properly, what Krishna is talking about here? Aharam, yajnam, tapasya, dhanam. All these things. If these things are taken seriously and if it is more performed in sattvagunam, Krishna is saying that sattvagunam itself will liberate us, not to bring you back again here. Whereas without caring for all these things, always saying, I'm on my way back home, back to Godhead, I'm on my way back home, back to Godhead. Nothing else matters here. You can go to hell, doesn't matter. I'm going to the spiritual world. If this attitude, if you live in this world, Krishna says it won't happen. It cannot happen. It is based on certain principles. Sanatana Dharma's root is all based on these things. Dhanam, yajnam, tapasya, aharam. These are the factors that changes this existence, our existence in this world. Because our existence is not very good at the moment, isn't it? Because full of rajogunam, tamogunam. So to take that gunam, three gunams from inside, so only purpose is to develop that sattvagunam inside. Somehow or the other, sattvagunam inside. Because Krishna says, sattvara sanjayate jnanam. And unless jnanam comes, where is the possibility of freeing oneself from here? So, from tamogunam, we have to come out to rajogunam. If a person is in tamogunam, means hopeless situation it is, isn't it? You know, tamogunam is considered to be like the wet grass. Tamogunam is like the wet grass, isn't it? You can't set fire to it, it won't catch fire. So, from tamogunam, one has to come to rajogunam. And from rajogunam, we have to change into sattvagunam. This is the idea behind it. To bring us ourselves from tamogunam to rajogunam and from rajogunam to sattvagunam. This changing process is called Chintamani technique. Chintamani Vidya, it is called. You know this alchemy, they have that, Prabhupada also mentions that. How to, with the help of mercury and copper and zinc, one or two metals, they can turn that into gold. They had a knowledge of that, doing that before. Alchemy process they call it. Chintamani Vidya. That means ordinary metal, you can convert that into gold with the help of mercury mixing with that in a certain proportion, whatever it is. And that is called Chintamani Vidya. Chintamani means touchstone. So you can turn that into a Chintamani in that way. Similarly, in our upadhi, in the body, body is upadhi, isn't it? Body is called upadhi. Mind is called upadhi. Intelligence is called upadhi. Andhakaranam is, the subtle body is upadhi. These are all our upadhi. Body, mind, intelligence, andhakaranam, this is all called upadhi. In all these upadhis, there is impurity inside. There is impurity inside. To remove that impurity, which is, impurity means it is in rajogunam and tamogunam. Tamogunam and rajogunam is inside in all these things. To turn that and turn it into sattvagunam. That is the purpose. And this is what has been the tradition in the Vedic system. That how to change this existence. This is our existence in the body, in the mind, in intelligence, ego. Self inside is untouched by any of these things. But purifying this existence of this body, mind, intelligence, everything, and turn that into sattvagunam. And in order to that to happen in the Vedic system, what they had was, in a parampara system, it was followed. Grandparents, their great-grandparents, like that, parampara, it has come parents and it comes the children. And if you throw it away all that, then it is very, very difficult. Because if they had given something good to practice in life, then, and if you throw it away, completely rejecting it, saying that it's all useless because science is telling us that you should eat a lot of meat and you should drink alcohol to become healthy. And you completely ignore all what you have received by your good birth, in by some reason, that some good traditions, if you got it. If you completely throw it away, that's your misfortune. That is what Krishna is going to say here. That the there are many things people get through parampara, isn't it? Through their parents or grandparents or great-grandparents. They may have taught something good in life. Now, if you completely reject them all, and thinking that science is telling me like this, or our friends are telling me like this, or society is telling me like this, and I try to follow them, then I am actually destroying myself. And if you don't throw it away, and if you keep it, you will get some benefit from that. So, so that is why Krishna is saying here, Trivido Bhavati Bharatam, Yatyastavastadadhanam Tesham Vedamimam Shrano. In those things, yet sunam prajakshare, he says, right, look at that. Karshayanda krishi kurvanda sharirastam. Bhudagraman karna samudayam acheta saha. That when you expose your body to very intense, painful austerities like that, which is not approved either by your, by the Shastra, or neither it has come from your parents or grandparents. Instead it has come from the world outside. Somebody else has told you that and you started doing that. That Krishna is saying you have to be careful about. He says, yet sukhanya prajakshane tadyan satya vevesham. All that is satya, Krishna is saying. That means, suppose you have received something like that through your family or from the tradition what you have come from, something good in life, spiritual benefit, as far as eating habits or any other habits in life. Do you know what I'm saying? That it's like getting up in the morning and bathing. It's a habit that has come due to growing up in a particular situation. Now, modern world does not care. They say that, oh, you don't have to bathe, you get this, what is that? Perfume, two times all over. You don't have to bathe. And when you have no time to bathe, you're busy. So some good habits when you were a child, what your parents have given you, you have decided to throw it away and rather took something from the society, thinking that by squirting this few times on the body, you're bathed, purify yourself, three times, Sri Vishnu, Sri Vishnu, Sri Vishnu. So this is what Krishna is talking about. He said something you had some good habit of bathing in the morning or getting up in the morning early. Another one. You had some good habit. Very easy to throw it away, all these things. But to get it back again is very, very difficult. You will see yourself, you try. To get up early in the morning, to engage in spiritual life in the morning, all these habits, it's very easy to throw them away. Because the society says, oh no, doctors are saying you should have a good 10 hours sleep in the night. And I went to bed very late. And so I can't get up in the morning. And people think, oh, your best sleeping hours is in the morning. You get your energy back. And they don't like it if you wake them up in the morning. So instead, if you have got it by birth or by through parampara, you didn't consult Shastram or anything. It has come to you by parampara, through your parentage or through family or whatever it is. Those habits, if you retain that, that is satya. That is satya. Provided it is conducive for spiritual life. So, because it was done by the ancestors, don't reject it. That is what Krishna's point is. You should follow them. So, therefore, first thing Krishna is going to talk about is ahara. You may wonder why Krishna gives so much importance to this thing called ahara, food. And therefore, those who are cooking food, They also are, my only humble request is they should be careful while cooking for so many people. Should cook with a good consciousness and good chant the holy name and cook. Because otherwise, if I have a lot of rajogunam and tamogunam in me while cooking also, all that will come through the food. There is you can read about it, there is plenty written about that. How this food can destroy you completely. All the lower modes can enter inside. And so much attention has been given to this food. You may wonder why in the Shastram that stress, so much stress on the food. Who is cooking the food and who is serving the food, who is eating the food, what is used in the food, where the ingredients are coming from, endless things and endless importance given to that. In all traditions, whether it is Advaiti, Dvaiti, Vishishtadvaiti, it doesn't matter. If you have come to spiritual life, then it is important. But if you have not come to spiritual life, then it's not important. McDonald's will do or anything else will do. Doesn't matter. Once you come to spiritual life, this is a very important thing. Krishna is saying this, ahara. Ahara should be, isn't it? Unfortunately, I just looked in the Bhagavad Gita. They have deleted that verse in this new book. For whatever reason, I don't know. If you look into the verse, ahara shuddho sattva shuddhi, Upanishad verse it is. For some, it is on the 311 if you take. Maybe it is in your Bhagavad Gita. I got this new one which in that they have taken it out. 311. If you look into the commentary. So, I don't know if it's a mistake or what is it.
It's in the old book.
Old book it is there. Isn't it? Yeah. In my other Bhagavad Gita it was there, and just now I was looking and I couldn't find that verse.
311.
Ahara Shuddho Sattva Shuddhi. That verse. Isn't it?
No.
No, it's not there.
In the purport, yes. In the purport. Such an important verse that is. An interesting thing is, it is there in the index at the end. It is put at the end. Ahara shuddho sattva shuddhi. Sattva shuddho dhava smriti. Smriti labhe sarva granthinam vipramokshaha. That one. That statement. That is Upanishad verse. Upanishad verse. That they have taken out for whatever reason.
Can you look at the second paragraph?
Which one?
Because
it does say it's in the smaller verse. Yeah, in the other one it was a verse separated. So that's why it was in verse form separate in the other book. So Krishna is saying first thing Krishna is talking about the food. Because we give importance to this aharam so much, some people say, oh, it's like a kitchen religion. That also they say, kitchen religion. What you have to remember is, Krishna is the personality who were busy with the kitchen from day one. Isn't it? He went into the kitchen everywhere, in every house. So, because kitchen is the most important place in the house, not the bedroom and bathroom and toilets and all that. It's the kitchen that is the most important place. So, that is the way it means here. And in Vrindavanam, Krishna went into every single kitchen. Is it not? He visited all the kitchens in the Vrindavanam. So, Krishna himself has shown to us the importance of kitchen. Kitchen is not a lack of importance. That is what Krishna is going to talk about here. So, anything you will see from the Vedic point of view, all food is given so much importance, isn't it? So much ignorance. Festivals, one type of food recommended to have. Whether it is, you may not remember the festival, but you will remember the food. It's enough. Like that. Like people, if you talk about Tirupati, for example, they'll remember the Ladu from Tirupati, but they won't remember the deity or the temple or anything. Why, how Tirupati's history, if you ask, nobody will remember. Similarly, many, many big temples, ancient times, they are related to the prasadam that's coming from the temple. Jagannath, Puri Jagannath temple, there are prasadam, 56 kinds of preparations, and there are certain preparations which are very much liked by people. Similarly, there are temples, Krishna temples, where the sweet rice prepared in that particular temple is well known. Is well known. So similarly, Laddu from Tirupati, and similarly, you can see from this that why it is given such an importance to it. Why such an importance is given to it? Because that is, the rishis knew our situation very well. If this food is not right, then nothing else is going to get it right. So similarly, festivals also, in different festivals. For example, Ganesh Chaturthi, which is celebrated. Modagam is prepared for that. Many children, they grew up in spiritual life through eating that. They don't know anything about Ganesh, what Ganesh is. They don't even know Ganesh, what Ganesh does. But why Ganesh Chaturthi, that particular preparation is made? To get that impression inside first itself, that you don't go and eat outside anything. Eat at home or eat at cooked by somebody who is clean and properly established. So like this Ganesh Chaturthi with the Modagam, and similarly temples with the Laddu, sweet rice and all other things, you can see that even if you forget Ganesh, you will remember Modagam still. Even if you forget Krishna, you will remember the sweet rice still. Like that, if different temples, they create this impression in the people's mind. Similarly, Panchamrutam, the five different kinds of honey and ghee, all mixed together, they create for Abhishek, they use it for the deity. Is it not? And they give it as prasadam to the people. Panchamrutam, Panchagavim also is given like that. So, all these things, you can notice one thing, is only an indication of this, that how important it is, ahara, food, or prasadam, what we take. Any amount, of, it is so much to talk about it, but it's not necessary to discuss all of it for us. Because part of it, we have already crossed that stage, like non-vegetarian food and things like that. We don't have to discuss that. But for a person, if you talk to outside, those who don't follow them, principles, you have to start from that. But after coming to what we will discuss here, is what Krishna is going to talk about, that is, that part of it, which is, even if you are taken to vegetarianism, even if you are only eating vegetarian food, there also a considerable discretion is necessary. Considerable discretion is necessary. So we will have a short break now.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Chedo darpanam ajnanam vamaha dhavati nirvamanam shreya vachandrika vidaranam vidyavatu jivanam anandam buddhivardhanam pratipadam purnamangalasivadanam sarvatma suranam param vidaye shri krishna sankirtanam नामकारी भौगालिक सर्वशक्ति सत्रादिदानेण कालाजनुरागाहरोनदेन कीर्तनीय सदा हरि नवनम न जनम न सुंदरीम कविताम जगदीश जन्मनी जन्मनीश्वरे भवतां भक्ति तनुजनिन्दरम प्रतिरामांशमे भवाम्बुदो कृपयाकोपादपङ्कज शिरसौले सदृशम् विचिन्तयाम् नयनम् कलशुधारया वदनङ्गया गिरा पुलगिरम् कदावभूतमनामग्रहणे भविष्यति इदम् निवेशेन चक्षुषा प्राविशारिकम् शूयायमगजलसोन्दरहेन मे आश्लिष्यापादरताम् पिनश्वमाम् अदर्शनमर्महदाम् करोतु वा यथा कदा वायुदा जलम् वरो So we're talking about prasad, best topic. So Krishna said, so you can see that how all the temples are related to prasadam, some way or the other. Prasadam is an important thing. There are many places, even today, if you go to those temples, you will see that any temple, they'll give you prasadam. In Karnataka, particularly Karnataka state, they have seen this. Those places, there are many temples there. They regularly give prasadam, Dharmasthala, Mugambiya, and places like that. That the hotels don't. There's no hotels there much. There are hotels, but generally, rarely people go and eat in the hotels. Very very small hotels, one or two may find there. Main reason is this that. The temples have made arrangements that anybody who goes there to these temples, that they have prasadam is provided. Some of them three times a day, some of them Mugambiya three times a day break the prasadam, and others twice a day, some of them twice a day, like that. So, and there you won't see any, compared to the number of people who visit those temples, you don't find any big hotels there. Because of this reason only. So they have connected the deity and the food in all these places. They kept the prasadam and the deity connected together. They kept it like that. And normally they'll say like that, oh, some people will say, oh, Brahmana Bhojana Priya. Brahmanas like to eat. That's why they've made all this system like this. Otherwise, why do we need so much food in the temples to offer? Because Brahmanas like to eat, so they've started this system, blaming the Brahmanas for that. They do like that. But actually, that verse is misunderstood. Brahmana bho janapriyaha. That means, bho is addressing them. Brahmana bho, addressing bho, addressing them. That they people love them. People like them very much. Because first class brahmanas, they don't ask much in life. They don't ask much in life. Only little food. That's their greatest qualification. They don't ask anything else from others. Their attitude is, in Mahabharata it says, yena kenajit achinaha, yena kenajit ashinaha, tram yatra kvachana shayisya devaha brahmanam vidu. A definition of Brahmana in Mahabharata is like that. In the interesting definition, yena kenajit achinaha, if you give them something to eat, yatra kvachana shayinyat, and there's a place somewhere they can lie down, he's satisfied. He's not asking anything more from this world. Anything more from this world. Because little bit of food and a place to lie down. That's all he is asking. Devaha brahmanam vidum. So, if you give him food and a place to lie down, such a person, and who is satisfied with that, demigods call him as a brahmana. Demigods will call that person as a brahmana. Demigods will call him as a brahmana. Then he doesn't have to say he is a brahmana, but the demigods will call him as a brahmana. So they will call him as brahmana. So topic is food, isn't it? Prasadam. So shariram, this body, is annamayam, isn't it? It is annamayam. Annamayam means food. You can see here, from annam, from food, this body has come, isn't it? Initially, before our body develops, in the shuklam and shoniram, blood and the semen, then that is coming from annam, the food what we have taken. From annam, from food, comes the blood and the semen, everything. And into that enters the living force, chaitanyam. Jiva chaitanyam enters into that. And where did that come from? It came from the mind. It came from the mind. Whose mind? From the father and the mother. Their mind it has come. And it came in the form of annam, food, and it turns into shuklam and shonitam. Shuklam and shonitam. That means semen and the blood. Turns into that form, and that is the first formation of life. And in other words, the mind gets transmuted as matter. Because that is an undeniable fact. Everybody knows. Shastram also accepts that, isn't it? So, that is where first time the mind turns into matter. The mind turns into matter. This is an interesting thing because we follow science, isn't it? Science is teaching another way. In a different way. Science is no complete answer to these questions. In the Vedam, what they are telling us is that the parents, from their desire, we were born. From our parents' desire, we were born. We were born from that. And in order to facilitate that process, a jiva who is waiting to take birth, he selects the parents, and comes and enters into their food, and through the food it comes into their desires and turns into shuklam and shonitam, and he enters there, and then that's where his life begins. Let's understand that. So first time the mind turns into matter in the womb of the mother, so when will that combination of blood and the semen, when will that develop into your body? When the living force enters into it. Jiva Chaitanyam enters into that. So, annam is the one that creates the purusha inside. So, whether male or female, it doesn't matter. But, tache tasmat alpana akasha sambhudaha. In other words, from akasham, from the sky, comes air. From the air comes the fire. Fire comes the water. And from water comes the earth. And prithivyat aushadayaha. And from the earth comes all the aushadi, plants and trees, through which they come. And annad purushaha, Upanishad says. That means, sa eha purusha annarasamayaha. That purusha or living force, what is in him is actually annam.
annam the food, annarasamayaha. So, Purusha is not different from annarasam. They are not separate. In other words, the living force, if it has to manifest here, it needs a body. And that body is created by the food, what he has taken. What he has taken. For the parents have taken, mother and father who have consumed. And there it says here, his body is created from annam, or the food what he eats. Everything will go into his body somewhere, and it will influence him and stays inside him. The food what he has eaten, it goes inside the body, and it stays there, and it stays there, and it will remain there in some place to influence this jiva who is coming. How does he influence that? First time, the body was formed due to the presence of annam. Without annam, it cannot happen. Then, from then on, it is only due to annam that body is developing, isn't it? A mother's food develops the baby in the womb. It develops, again it is annam. When he comes out of the womb, from there also it's annam that is making him grow further after that, isn't it? So, annam is the body is not different from annam. Annam means, Krishna uses the word annam in the Bhagavad Gita. Annam bhavati bhudani parjanyad anna sambhava, isn't it? You know, in the third chapter. So, annam is the force behind it, that annam is what it is, turns into body, first of all. It is what turns into body. And what is annam means? Annam is the what you take, and what is being eaten. What is being eaten. Annam, he says, adyade andeja bhudani. In other words, we take annam. Annam means generally reference to grains. Normally refers to grains, but it will include all other eatables also. But normally when we refer to annam in the Shastra means always grains, rice or wheat or things like that. So, after we have eaten that annam, if you continuously take annam, after a while, annam will eat us away. Annam will eat us away. In other words, because you can see that if you have taken a lot of annam, that annam itself will kill you. Annam itself will kill you. Annam has got that other side also, isn't it? That is why sometimes in the ancient times, older people will say, when we get a particular body, there's a certain amount of food this body will take from this world. If his food is finished, the quota for that body is over, that means his life is finished, in other words. That's when he has to leave the body. The villages, they say like that. He can't eat anymore after that. Either some illness will come, or he has to leave his body, one way or the other. Or if he has eaten so much that he can't eat anymore, something will happen in his life. So, how much one has to have annam, that's already decided before when we are given this body. And once it is finished, that then you can't have any more in this life. Sometimes what happens is some people who are very, what do they call it? Voracious eaters, isn't it? Who eat a lot of food, a large quantity, and who enjoys the food. When you see them, they are eating, you will start wondering what, how they are, have so much appetite, they have got it. So, that is why, but we don't see that when tigers and the lions, when they eat their food, we don't feel it like that. But when we see another human being, our own species, when they eat like this, in a large quantities and large amount of food, and we start thinking that what an amount of appetite he has got. Quite an unusual thing, isn't it? There was this story of Patanathar, I mentioned this before. He was a big businessman. And one day, due to the circumstances, due to Subramanya's mercy, he managed to get out of this business life. He was into making money and doing big money, making big money. That was his goal of life. But somehow, due to Krishna's grace, he managed to come out of it, and he became a sadhu.
and he was begging for the food and lived very simple. But there was another competitor for him, a big businessman again. And this person, he was very much into acquiring wealth, just like Padmanathar was before. So that businessman, when he saw Padmanathar like this, given up everything and in a very poor state, he asked him one day, what did you gain by becoming like this? You had enough wealth, you could have lived a very comfortable life in this world, and but you have thrown away everything and have taken to the sadhu's life. What did you gain from doing all these things? So Padmanathar says, and he, that businessman who said this to Padmanathar, he used to look after himself very well, he used to eat well, very good quantity of food, large quantity of food and very good quality food, and used to massage his body every day with oil and other things. He had masseurs who were massaging him. And because he had so much wealth, his belly was big, he was eating so well, and they were massaging his body every day. So Padmanathar was walking in front of his house. So he called Padmanathar and says to him, look at my body. He said, how well it is maintained. And all over fresh flesh everywhere, and nicely massaged with oil and all, you know, all kinds of things, and maintained well. Padmanathar's body, because ever since he has become a sadhu, it has lost its all its strength, and he was thinner and slim, and at the same time he was not properly bathing, like oil massage or anything he didn't have. So it was all looking dry skin and things like that. So when this businessman said this to Padmanathar, Padmanathar said, fine, he said, he came out and he sang a song. He says there that often I have noticed foxes, dogs, tigers, they come and look at his body, this businessman's body. When will it be ready for them to eat? When he's dead. So they can, because they are also looking at his body, seeing there is so much nice flesh in his body. If they can get that. The foxes were thinking like that. And the dogs were thinking, this is a body worthwhile chasing after. Padmanathar says that so, because they are all waiting for him to leave the body, isn't it? So, there are other living entities who are making us as their annam. We are the annam for them. Deer is annam for the tiger, is it not? We have also prescribed annam for us, grains and vegetables and things like that. So, that is why in the Bhagavatam you will see, Ahastani sahastanam, abadani chadushpadam, phalguni mahatam tatra, jivo jivasya jivanam. It's an undeniable law of this world that one living entity is put to another. Is it not? Ahastani sahastanam, that one who has got hands, he is food for those who doesn't have the hands. Abadani chadushpadam, the four-legged animals is food for the two-legged ones. Phalguni mahatam tatra jivo jivasya jivanam. One living entity is put to another living entity. That is the way it is created. This world is created in that way. So that is why he is saying here. So this here, one living entity is put to another living entity. Therefore, annam, this is annam, is a basic factor in everybody's life. The first step. So that is why they say the body is annamayam. It's called annamayam. From annam only this was born, and it is sustained by annam, and it becomes annam for somebody. Is it not? If you look at the body, it has come from annam, it is maintained by annam, and it becomes annam for somebody at some point. Everything if you take in this world, it is like that. Plants also. Plants also. So, after this annam, stage of annam, annamayam, next step is pranamayam, isn't it? Pranam is the next step. This is in the Patanjali's Yoga Sutra also, you will see this. And it is based on that. They say, next step is the pranam. Pranam means, and from that, the mind comes. Annamayam, pranamayam, manamayam. From annam comes pranam, and from pranam comes mind. So, every time we take one handful of food in the hand,
That annam is speaking to us something. Is speaking to us something. We don't know that language, that's all it is. We don't know its language. Because the person who has cooked that food, his mind is in that food, what you are eating. The person who has cooked, his or her mind will come through that food. Will come through that food. Similarly, the person who has sold it, if you have bought it from somewhere, his mind will be in that food. Will be in that food. So you can see how annam is changing its form. These subtle things of a person who has handled that annam will all come in that annam when you are eating that. If you get this subtlety of the annam, that then you can appreciate that, admire what Krishna is telling us. How it affects us. It's not something he has spoken vaguely, without any sense. What it is coming from is this, that from annam we were born, we were maintained by annam, and we turn out to be annam one day, to somebody, for the animals or something. They can eat us, isn't it? So, similarly, in the same way, we are annam, we are not different from the annam. So, in this annam, all these subtle things are packaged into it. That means the person who has grown the annam, who has cooked it, who has sold it, who has delivered it to you, even the person who is offering the prasadam, who is serving the food, even his involvement is there in the food when you are eating that. So closely knit everything with food. That's why how important it is. So that is why Krishna is saying here, if that person who is cooking, if he has got a lot of ragadvesham inside, if he has got angaram or any kind of attachment to these things, his mind, a share of that will be there in that food when it comes from that. So, and if you ask the annam, annam will tell you that, but we don't know the language. That is the problem. That is the problem. But in order to decode that, and we don't have the computer for that, how to decode that from there, isn't it? So, annam can speak different languages. For example, from where the grains have come from. And when in that annam, sometimes through parjanyam, through the rains, one living entity might have entered into that annam. Entered into that annam. And why? Because he is waiting for that annam, that jiva is waiting to take birth through someone, some father, somewhere. So he will come through that annam to the father. And the father will eat that annam and he will enter into him through that annam. This is there in the Bhagavad Gita also, you will see this. So you can see, so annam is the transport. Mode of transport for that jiva chaitanyam, living force to take into the body. So, not in all the annam there will be living entities. We are thinking that, oh, I got married and therefore the children was born. Child was born, isn't it? Actually, getting married and the child taking birth, there is no connection. Getting married and child taking birth, there is no connection. This is what Shastram is telling us. What Shastram is saying to us, that is only a way how material nature is cheating us. It is a way for material nature to cheat us by doing it like this, that it is because you got married that this has happened like that, that you had children. If you are not got married, you didn't have children. What Shastram is telling us is that if a jiva wants to come to this world, he will look for the father, a person, a man, and he will enter into him and get through his annam and he will stay within him. When he gets the right opportunity, he will come through his semen and mix with the Shukra Shoninam in that way, with the female, and then the body will develop from there. So, so, because material nature don't want us to know of this coming of the living force to us, artificially we are given this impression that it is due to the marriage that this has happened. It's a way of misleading us. We get that impression that, oh, because I got married, I got a son or daughter or whatever it is. Actually, it has nothing to do with the marriage. Marriage is a later thing. Much before that, the jiva who wants to take birth has already come. And he decides at that time which is the father first. And he enters into the father inside and is already set up there, ready to come out. And then when he is married, the father is married, this mother, enters into the mother's womb and then builds up from there. So that's all the growth has started. So actually the birth has already happened in the father's body. When the baby, when that living force has ended, that is the real birth. From that point the birth has started. So, so just like sometimes we say, oh, he died due to heart attack. We say like that, isn't it? But does he will not die if the heart attack didn't come? Will he not? Similarly, we say somebody died out of cancer. Will he not die if the cancer didn't come? So, heart attack and cancer is not the cause of death. It's a misunderstanding. That heart attack, Prabhupada always used to say this. He said, people are always reporting, if you read the obituary columns, you will see, so-and-so died of heart attack, so-and-so died of cancer, so-and-so died of this, that, and the other. Heart attack and cancer is not the reason for the death. That comes there at that time because already that jiva had to quit the body. So he has decided to quit. His part is over. Prarabdham is finished. He has to go. For that, the guru's body has to come to some, finish it up. And therefore, heart attack or cancer or stroke or whatever it is, it has to come and does that. That's all. So the real factor behind it is that it's already had to, it's already left that. So, so pragatihi. Krishna says pragatihi. Similarly, birth is also, like death is a pragati, material nature it is, doing that. Similarly, birth is also pragati. It's a pragati. Living entity is passage, that is, this birth, thing called a birth. But we tie it up with the marriage and having children and all that. We tie it up in that way because that's how we understand. On a much grosser level, but in the proper understanding is like this, that jiva has come, jiva wants to have a entry into this world. He has chosen the father due to his prarabdham. There must be some karmic relationship between them. So he chooses the father and comes, enters into the father through the annam, through the food, what he eats. He gets in and he stays there for the appropriate time. When he gets married with somebody, then he enters into the womb of the mother. Which can happen. That means the jiva can enter the person long before even he is married. Marriage happens much later. But we say, oh, he got married, therefore he got the children. It's not like that. That's the important point. He takes that person, a jiva has come through the rain, through the food, through the rain, through the food, into the father's body, even long before he is married. But he will stay there somewhere in his body to take birth at appropriate time when he is married. When he is married. Therefore, all the annam that the father has eaten doesn't have the living force in there. There is no chaitanyam there. It's only that person that is more important, that jiva chaitanya, living force, who has entered into the father, that is the important point, not the relationship with the mother. Not the relationship with the mother. Only thing is, this is a cheating us, material nature, by giving this impression that because we got married, therefore we got a child. That is not Shastram saying. Shastram is saying to us, that particular living entity who wants to come, he enters into the father and remains there. When he gets married, he uses that channel to come through the mother to the world. And that is cheating. That is cheating. In order to explain this more clearly, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, if you read the birth of that Rishi, Mandhava, cut open and he got pregnant. He got pregnant. And the baby was there. And he came out from there. Isn't it? He cut open and took out Mandala's story. There was no mother. There was no mother. And then who gave Indra came and put his thumb into his mouth, and because Indra's hand is filled with nectar, also hand in nectar, so he took the, put the thumb into his mouth, and the baby started, and he had the nectar, and that is how Mandala survived. And it is apparently it is because of that, from that day onwards, all the children put the thumb into the mouth. That habit has come from that. So this is actually a cheating process. Material nature is cheating us. This impression to us, I got married, that's why I had the son. Or I got married, that's why I had the daughter. Actually, it is not like that, quite like that. Important thing to remember is this, through annam, a living entity has entered into our body, the man's body, and he stayed there somewhere, and in the body, or waiting for an opportunity to come out into this world. At that time, the medium is through the woman, female body, it comes out through that, and to grow. This process of this taking birth is actually a misunderstanding. Shastram is not looking at it in that way. So that is why Stri Purusha, man-woman relationship also in Prakriti, in material nature, if you look at it, you can say like this, inside the female there is man, and inside the man there is female also. There is female also. It is nothing is required from outside. If you talk about all these things, it's very difficult to understand it properly. But what Krishna is saying here, this process of we understanding, thinking that marriage is the cause of birth, or cancer is the cause of death, is all false. It's all false. So jiva through parjanyam, through the rain, that's what Krishna uses that word, you can see. Annan bhavandi bhudani parjanyad anna sambhava. Krishna puts it very straight to us. Parjanyad anna sambhava. Then? Yajnyad bhavadi parjanyam. Then?
Parjanyad yajna karma samodhava.
Yajna karma samodhava. Isn't it? Yajna karma samodhava. So that is that verse is pointing at. Annan bhavandi bhudani. Parjanya danna sambhava. Yajnyan bhavati parjanyam. Yajnya karma samudbhava. Krishna has linked food and the yajnyam and the birth. He didn't link with the female or male relationship. He didn't put it like that. Annan bhavandi bhudani. From annam comes bhudam, he says. Living entity comes from annam. We are annam. Annamayam, we are. Is it not? And from annam only we have come, from food. Annan bhavandi bhudani. Parjanyan anna sambhava. Parjanyan brings that annam to us. And yajnyan bhavadi parjanyam. How parjanyam comes? Through yajnyam, sacrifices. Yajnya karma samudbhava. Krishna is saying that. Is it not? So, I think that's enough for today. We'll see tomorrow. All glory to Srila Prabhupada.
Dinadhyatma Prabhu ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.